nerderotic.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a preview of House of the Dragon Season 2. Good television, we hope.
Let's pray to God. Let's pray to God it's good, because if this lets us down, we're going to be like so disappointed. It was such an awesome, special thing to have 2 years ago, because we all thought House of the Dragon was going to be shit. We're like, another more fucking bullshit from them after they ruined Game of Thrones. And then an episode or two, and we're like, holy shit, this is good. So now we have such high expectations. And season one is so damn good. I just rewatched the whole thing again. If this lets us down, we are going to be devastated.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't turn into everything we thought it was going to be before season one. Because, as you may or may not know, the source material is pretty thin. It's basically the Wikipedia of Westeros. It comes from some short stories that George has actually re-edited the hell out of and put into Fire and Blood. So it's based on the Dance of the Dragons version of events from Fire and Blood, which are three different perspectives from a maester, a fool named Mushroom, and a septon. And they all have very different perspectives. And supposedly the show is supposed to be the definitive version of events. And they did. I was asked on Forbidden Frontier, Ryan, Krigler asked me, was the weird foot thing in the book? I'm all, foot thing with Lara Strong was not in the book. That was added for the show.
Well, that's the thing with the source material being not only not very deep or complex, but also still open to interpretation, even of what's there, it gives them a lot of room to do different things, which can be awesome or which could backfire. You know, if they do something that we really don't like, or we really don't think would have happened or should have happened or whatever, you get kind of the entire mix. Lara Strong, we didn't hear about his foot fetish, although he does have like a thing about his foot, like, yes. later on, there's like something very specifically that happens with his foot. I think he just likes, he's a dude who is a second son. He's a dude who never had any power or influence. And I think he likes having that power over the queen. That's what I think that shit is all about, his entire fetish.
Yeah. And I think that's, it really seems like that's what his entire motivation is. Oh, the reason we're doing this is we're going to get our spoiler stuff out now. So when next week, when we start covering the show, we're going to cover book stuff, what the show covers, but we're not going to spoil ahead for the audience and for our co-host Mahler.
That's really what it's for. Like, you guys can tune out. You guys can plug your ears when Gary puts up the spoiler thing, but really it's Mahler. He can't cover his ears when we're talking about it. And so we're like, we have to do one discussion about all the stuff we think could happen before and not let Mahler hear it.
Yeah. Cause this whole thing is spoilers. What we're talking about is what happens in the book. Again, there's many different ways it could go, but we're talking about what happened in the book directly after the events of season one. And Lara Strong is like one of the most pivotal characters, because he's kind of the Littlefinger, but I think his, and he's even in the book that I forgot the Septon's name now, but the maester and Mushroom, nobody knows what this guy's motivation is. They don't know what side he's on, because he switches sides. And he does stuff that's counterintuitive to what you think he started. And even to his end, you do not know like what side he was on, like at all.
Yeah.
Other than his side.
Yeah. And his role is majorly expanded in terms of things that we know he's doing now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the fact that he was the one that engineered the death of his father and brother, you know, that was crazy. That was a crazy reveal.
It was, because it was hinted at in the book, but it was also believed that maybe King Viserys did it. Daemon did it. You know, we weren't sure.
Anytime someone dies mysteriously, people are like, Daemon probably had a hand in it.
Yeah.
that's kind of the feeling for everyone.
Well, and that's the feeling in the book. And that's, but he plays a huge part in the show, even though he kind of disappears. I doubt he's going to fully disappear. And, you know, there's the whole thing about his club foot. He might not have a club foot. It might be just fake. And it was his way to, you know, hang out with the ladies in season one and hear all the gossip. And that's, it's, you know, people don't really respect him or take him seriously or intimidated by him in any way, shape or form, which is allows him access to a lot, you know, people are careless around him. And that's why he gets a lot of information.
But it like, I feel like if he didn't have a club foot though, he has a club foot because we're already doing spoilers. If you're clear on the stream, you know, it's spoilers. At the end, he gets it when he gets executed at the end, when everything's all resolved, they chop his foot off too. Remember?
Well,
they chop his foot off.
He asked them to, but it gets lost.
Well, somebody like takes it or something, but you would think that if they did it and they're like, his foot's fucking fine, you'd think there'd be a mention, but I guess they could not have.
You never know. So at the dance really hadn't started in season one, the Dance of the Dragons, this Targaryen civil war. It was basically a question of succession. It was an entire chapter in Fire and Blood where it's just all the events that led up to it. And then we had Lucerys get eaten.
Chomped, chomp, chomp, Vhagar.
By Vhagar. And Aemon. And that's where it ended. And it's going to hit the ground running pretty much because where the next series of events are Daemon Targaryen basically taking over Harrenhal immediately. He goes over. And it falls peacefully. The Castellan saw the dragon and just pissed himself and said, the castle's yours. So now they have this seat.
Supposedly.
Yeah, according to the book. This is all supposedly according to the book. But Daemon takes it pretty easily. And it was a pretty smart move because it puts you right in the middle of the Riverlands, right, where they have a lot of potential allies. But one of those allies is not the Tullys, who are named after Sesame Street characters, by the way. So there's Elmo Tully and Grover Tully. Yeah. So that's how serious George took this at the time. I think it was Elmo's the grandson. Grover's the grandfather who's dying. And he is for King Aegon. But the rest of the family's like, no. So they're kind of, you know, he's on his deathbed giving orders and they're just ignoring him. And they basically just shut down the castle and like, we're not getting involved. We're not getting involved at all. So all the River Lords, the rest of them, other than the Brackens, are going to be with Rhaenyra, which is funny because the Blackwoods and the Brackens, if you read A Song of Ice and Fire, fucking hate each other, have always hated each other. And it was just an excuse for the Blackwoods to go fuck up the Brackens, which I love. House Blackwood's one of my favorite houses. That's the one
we got a little preview of that in episode 4 of season 1, whichever it was, when Rhaenyra's there at Storm's End looking at all these suitors that are coming up to her, and you had that altercation between Blackwood and Bracken in the hall where the kid ends up stabbing the one in the gut and stuff. So you do get a preview of that hatred between them even in season 1. And we'll probably get a little bit of that obviously play out in season 2. I think that that's going to be way more expanded in this season, like all the Riverlord stuff and the battles that happen there and the losses the Greens take. I think that's going to be a little more expanded than we have in the book itself, because I just feel like they are going to have to add a little bit more to it based on all the battle sequences we saw in the trailers.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to be taking a lot of liberties because main characters that they've really established disappear for long periods of time in the book.
Like Daemon
and Allison Hightower. And
that's one of the big things is basically Daemon takes Harrenhal and then he just stays there forever.
Yep.
Like forever for the rest of until the very end, basically, until he like suits up, old man suits up, stops fucking his side chick and is like, well, I guess I got to take down Vhagar now. So I think he's going to be way more involved. He has to, because they know that people love Daemon. So there's no way they don't involve him in more shit than he actually was. I think he's going to be very involved and like set the stage for Blood and Cheese in the first episode.
Yeah.
I think him and Masari are going to be the ones that set that entire thing up.
Yep. I think for a little while you could use just Daemon's presence in the Riverlands, which it insinuates in the book that like that freaks everybody out. You just have a dude with the dragon sitting in the biggest seat. Even though like Harrenhal's completely fucked up castle, it's still huge. It's still huge. And there's the burning of the mill, and that's where the river lords are all fucking each other up. And I hope they do that, because I love House Blackwood, dude. I love Raventree. I love the whole concept. So House Blackwood is they worship the old gods. They're descended from the first men. They have a weirwood tree there. So before, back in the early days of A Song of Ice and Fire, like there were no weirwood trees south. And then George started changing that as time went on, including that one in we see in King's Landing, which that was new.
Yeah, like to me, that has to, like that has to be setting up to me the idea that someone could look back and see these things play out, because there are so many random things that take place in front of that tree in season one.
Yep.
So like they have to be setting something up like that. I don't know if we're ever going to see what that really means, but
no. Yeah. We'll find out if they try to connect it to Game of Thrones. Oh God. But, yeah. So Raventree, the reason it's called Raventree, it's a dead weirwood tree, but every night ravens just rest on it. So it looks like leaves. So it's hundreds and hundreds of ravens just chill out on it at night. And I love that concept. I think it's great. And there's a great chapter in A Song of Ice Fire, you know, with Jamie going to House Blackwood and trying to negotiate a peace. And it's one of the better chapters out there. And
this is when Jamie's on his hero arc, you know what
on
I mean?
His hero
he's,
like, arc, yeah.
He's trying to keep these promises that he made
to Catelyn. And, yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Not shed any blood. And he almost does it, man. He almost pulls it off.
He tries. He gives it the old college try.
He did.
Yeah,
he did. So Daemon is in. This is how this part will supposedly play out. Is Daemon takes Harrenhal, and then Corlys Velaryon blockades the Blackwater, basically, and stops all trade getting in and out of King's Landing, which obviously screws stuff up. But that sets up something pretty massive later on, pretty devastating later on, as everything does. So that happened. Otto Hightower. Oh, go on.
Yeah, and that's what I was gonna talk about Otto next, because right off the bat, after Aegon's coronation, they find out that the Reach isn't going with them. They find out that some of the River Lords aren't going with them. They find out that House Stark, which we'll talk about, they're not going to back them. So all of a sudden, things are now very level, and you've got Blackwater blockaded. So King's Landing, people in King's Landing are starting to get pissed off and fed up. You got these losses that happen in the Riverlands. And Aegon's like, this is fucked up. Grandfather, you suck. I don't want you as my hand anymore. Kristen Cole, you're the hand now. And then Kristen Cole goes nuclear. He's like, well, the first thing you have to do is start treating traitors like traitors. And every one of those lords that refused to bend the knee to Aegon, he just immediately executes them. Just fucking straight up kills them.
Yeah. Out of the half dozen, I don't know if it was that much, maybe it's 8 or 9 lords that were in the black cells, they came up. Two of them bent the knee. The rest of them lost their head instead of break their word, which, good for them. Before Otto was sacked, though, one of the reasons was he was writing letters. He was trying to, you know, gain some allies, because he saw he was losing allies. And he also lost the Eyrie, because while Lucerys was supposed to go to Storm's End, and Rhaenyra thought that was going to be easy because she has lineage to Storm's End, that he would take her side. He obviously didn't. Lucerys dies, but Jacaerys is in the Eyrie, and he's able to get there's a lady. There's no lords, because
Lady Jane Arryn
is going to be a lesbian. She's a lesbian in the book.
For some reason, there's always a woman in charge there, death or happenstance or whatever.
Yes.
George writes the same thing over and over.
He writes the same characters over and over again. And this is supposed to be a kind of a precursor to what happens in A Song of Ice and Fire. That's why he wrote this whole backstory anyway. She allies. She's all, we women have to stick together, but I want a dragon. you have to get me a dragon. I want a dragon and a dragon rider. And they didn't really have much to give at the time, but he said yes. And Ceres does a good job, dude, of, you know, he does what he's supposed to do. He doesn't get eaten. And then from there, he goes up to the north. So Rhaenyra is gaining allies, and Otto sees that immediately. So he starts writing a lot of letters, and he sends some over to Three Sisters. Is it the city of the Three Sisters? Oh, Kingdom of the Three Daughters. That's it. Kingdom of the Three Daughters, where they had, you know, the Triarchy, which was causing a bunch of problems in House of the Dragon season one. And that comes up later, but Otto gets fired and sent back home again.
Yeah, so he's basically asking the Triarchy, hey, come help us out, because they've got ships and stuff like that. Come help us out. Clear this blockade from the gullet. That's what he wants them to do. They're a little bit slow on the uptake, but eventually they do get around to it. I don't know if we're going to see that this season or not.
So. I don't know, because that one's going to be crazy.
Did you hear they cast that trans person for the leader of the Triarchy?
Yeah, well, for the, God, what was the name of the captain? The captain is supposed to be flamboyant.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
It's the captain is definitely, is the trans actor a dude trans or girl trans?
Dude pretending to be a woman who is now going to be playing a dude, I think. You know what I mean?
It's Tropic Thunder. It's supposed to be a really flamboyant captain. You know, that's the way. And there are trans characters in the book.
Yeah, there are. Yeah, there are. Just like we had never heard that about that character. So
no, not specifically.
Yeah, everyone just thought gay or British. You know,
one of the two. But yeah, the way the Triarchy works is they don't have a king, obviously, and it's like you know, they sit down and have committees all day, so it takes them a long time to make a decision about anything, and it's usually just a bunch of rich people. That's the way the Kingdom of the Three Daughters works out. But the big one, Ryan, is in the first episode, which we've been hinting at a lot. The first episode title is called Son for a Son. Son for a Son. This brings us to blood and cheese. And if they do this the way it's done in the book, the way it's described in the book, that's going to be kind of brutal. It's going to be kind of brutal. There might be some pearl clutching.
They better do it, though.
They have to do it.
They have to do it, because this story is a brutal story.
It is.
You know? And it's what we're talking about is after the death of Lucerys. Daemon basically says, hey, well, there's only one way to get back. It's a son for a son. And so they set up an assassination attempt to kill one of Aegon's children. Blood and Cheese is, you've got a rat catcher and was a member of the city guard or something?
Yes, yes.
A gold cloak, one of Daemon's gold cloak people that he has.
A former sergeant of the city watch,
yeah,
named Blood. And Daemon is still really tight with a lot of the gold cloaks. That's pretty important to know for future events.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
he built that thing up. And I think that doing the rewatches, you just catch so much stuff, and you really show it. Like, you get the emphasis that the City Watch was nothing. They were just a bunch of fucking losers until Daemon got put in charge. And as bad as Daemon might be at some things, when it comes to like being a leader like that, militarily, police force, whatever you want to talk about, he's really good at inspiring people, because he's willing to get down there. He's willing to show them what to do. People respect him. And so the Gold Cloaks have a lot of loyalty still to Daemon.
Oh, they loved him in King's Landing for cleaning up the town. He was a populist. He was, you know. Yeah. He cleaned things up. He really Rudy Giuliani King's Landing, or at least, you know, Flea Bottom. And so we have Blood and Cheese there, and Cheese is a Red Keep rag catcher. They have rat catchers, multiple ones, but the rat catchers are very familiar with the tunneling system that Varys was familiar with too, and what most royals probably don't even know about. And
Daemon knows about them, though.
Daemon knows about them, and that was already established. They were setting some stuff up for this anyway.
Beast Beneath the Boards, we saw in episode 4 or episode 5,
yeah,
the wedding, at the end of it, when they're doing their vows after Kristen Cole beats the fuck out of Joffrey, you see a rat literally like in blood.
Yes.
Like it was it was about really as long as it could get for people like us.
I know.
Like, everyone else was like, that's a cool way to end it. That's very morbid. For us, it was like, holy shit. Yeah.
No, it's just getting started. So Damon is blamed for setting this up, and it certainly could be him or might not be. You never know. You never know. But
I very much think it's going to be like Damon. I think Damon and Masari are going to be very involved in this.
Yes.
But what happens is they know Helena's routine is to bring the children to Allison at some point, and they wait there. They wait for the kids, and they essentially sit there. They say, hey, we're going to kill one of your fucking kids.
Yeah.
You choose which one you want us to kill. To Helena, to autistic dreamer Helena, right? And Helena, I think Helena chooses
Maelor,
so the younger one, the youngest. Hey, kill my youngest, because obviously you got heir to the throne. Like, nobody would ever want to be put in that spot, but you kind of understand why she might make that choice to keep the heir alive.
She also made the choice because it was the youngest, and they might not understand what's going on.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And so she's like, you know, kill Maelor then. And they say, well, fuck you. And they kill the other one. They kill Jaehaerys.
Cut his head off.
They just chop his head off right there.
Right there.
So they're saying, hey, I want you to choose which of your son gets to die. And so you look at your youngest, say, I guess I want him to die. And they kill the other one. And so the other one has to live.
Oh, and then I can't remember if it was blood or cheese. It goes, you hear that, boy? Your mom wanted you to die.
Yeah, it's the most fucked up thing that I think we will ever see in Game of Thrones. It is completely fucked up, and it essentially causes Helena to lose her mind, which she's already hanging on to by a thread anyway.
More. And the two get away. They actually leave everybody else. Well, they killed one of her bedmaidens or whatever. They strangle her. But you know what? Small folk don't fucking matter in Game of Thrones. So, but they leave everybody else alive, and they flee with the prince's head. Right. So Blood gets caught at the Gate of the Gods later with the prince's head and is tortured and gives up cheese, but they never find cheese. They never do. And there's again, lots of Game of Thrones theories, lots of Song of Ice and Fire theories. A lot of them are fucking whack. But I like going over them anyway because they're fun. And there is a theory that Laura Strong is cheese.
But
don't know how, but
yeah, because like they said they didn't catch him or whatever. I guess he could have a hood on. Any you could conceal it anyway, I suppose.
Sure.
But I would be shocked if they actually did that.
Yeah, I would be too.
And it wouldn't really make much sense. But he does, like you said in the beginning, he does some things sometimes that are a little counterintuitive to things he's done before. So I don't know.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, it kind of, Littlefinger does that too. You know, Littlefinger plays both sides, and he openly admits it later on in the book, but he's like, I'm not on anybody's side. I'm on my side, you know, whatever.
At least he has like a reason, like you can see the reasoning of why he's, and it's all to like accumulate his power, or whatever. Maybe that's what Laris is doing too, but what's his end goal? Like, I guess. Do you know what I mean?
He's got a lot of power.
And we don't know what his end goal is.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's probably why it's tough to just determine what we think he did or didn't do.
True. But he's the Lord of Harrenhal now. Strong is a pretty rich family. He inherited all that money. It's an old family. That's, you know, why risk that? And he's the master of whisperers right now. So, you know, but there's a Targaryen civil war. So, And there's the theories behind this whole thing is the Citadel's behind it, you know, and that's the theory in A Song of Ice and Fire too.
There's a big fan favorite theory that the Maesters are really the ones that instigated all of these things, that the Maesters are the ones that wanted Viserys as king to begin with because they knew he'd kind of be weak and ineffectual, like that they may have rigged the election, you know,
they rigged it.
Yeah, they rigged it. They stole it.
Yes.
Yeah, that would have made for some interesting commentary.
I know.
When it came out, huh?
I know, right?
Yeah.
But the reasoning is kind of sound. If you don't know about the prophecy of Ice and Fire, which they made up for the show, but I firmly believe is a spoiler from A Song of Ice and Fire, because it really makes sense for Aegon to conquer West. Why would he wait around? Why would he just go one day? Okay, I'm going to conquer it now. Yeah. If there wasn't some sort of prophecy. So that actually makes sense. Now,
I heard a theory the other day that it was actually Rhaenys that had the dream, the dreamer, right? And then Aegon kind of put it into action.
Okay.
That kind of makes sense.
That makes more sense.
That actually does make sense. And I'd never heard anyone say it before. And I heard him like, yeah, her name is the fucking dreamer. That does make sense, actually.
Yeah, but, totally. Yeah. I mean, she predicted the doom of Valyria. So,
yeah.
I mean, she's got cred. Her sources are good, Ryan. She has good sources.
Her Hollywood spies, yeah.
So, like, but it makes sense from, like, not knowing that prophecy. The Maesters look at the Targaryens and they're running around with these nuclear bombs all the time. It's like, let's get fucking rid of them, you know? Like, sure, we were fighting all the time before, but we were kind of doing that before they showed up, you know? Like, nothing would change except there wouldn't be these nuclear bombs flying around. So, you understand that, the gray sheep. I hate the Maesters, by the way. I can't.
They are the only ones that have the... They are the ones who know all, right? All the different mysteries, all the stuff. They're the ones that are able to explain it. But they have no control. They have no power. They have no understanding of this bond between dragons and dragon rider. And that is the one power that could threaten everything. So, like, just from that perspective, it would make sense for the Maesters to be invested in seeing these Targaryens, who are closer to gods than they are human, brought back to the human level with the loss of their dragons.
Right. And some Maesters are against it, which you find out in a Dance with Dragons. Some Maesters are onto them going, yeah, I wouldn't tell anybody you saw dragons or anything, or you'll end up dead the next morning. So, we have blood and cheese that happens, and that just fuck everything's on at this point. It's just on. Queen Helena basically can't even, she's so gone now, she can't even take care of her kids. So Alicent Hightower takes care of the kids as her own. And she basically, Queen Helena, who is a dragon rider and they kind of needed her, locks herself in a room and is pretty much just gone insane. And Aegon is just starts drinking more. You know, he starts drinking strong wine more. But
he already drank a lot. So yeah,
he did.
Standard.
And ultimately, like, he wasn't down with being king. He was only talked into it by Sir Criston Cole in the book. You know, they're going to come and kill you unless you become king. You really have no choice. So, but he starts getting into it a little bit. And you can see that in the trailer, too.
I love how, because he's like such a weak character, right, in season one. And it's kind of expected, right? He's nobody. He was never going to be heir to the throne. He just wants to fucking drink and do whatever. And then all of a sudden this thing gets thrust upon him that he doesn't want, that his brother Aemon is way more suited for. And it gets thrust upon him. And as soon as he hears those cheers, he's like, oh, I kind of like this power. And it gets to, I think it's going to get to his head. And I think we're going to see a very cruel, angry, immature ruler. You know, I think that's what we're going to get. He's going to come like out.
Joffrey.
Mm. Yeah. Weird. History repeats.
Now Blood was tortured when he got caught, by the way, and he gave up Maseri. So that'll probably happen. She can disappear. She'll be fine. Don't worry about that. The White Worm. She'll be.
And that's why I think we even see a scene between Daemon and Missaria there.
Missaria,
in one of the trailers that I think that's them setting up Son for a Son. I think that's them setting up Blood and Cheese. Maybe.
I think so. I think it'll be, I mean, like, the event itself, you don't need to add any more intrigue other than the event itself. It doesn't need to be all, oh, who is this person? Because they don't have enough time. This is only going to be 4 seasons. So it'll be really interesting where they end this season. So I looked
at it. It's kind of interesting when they end the show, to be honest.
Well,
yeah,
that's a discussion for another day. But like, where do you end it?
I think you end it after the Hour of the Wolf.
Yeah.
I think you end it after Cregan Stark basically comes into town and just says fuck everybody and does his thing, delivers justice, also gets a lot of new recruits for the wall. And you know, and then leaves town and you're just kind of left with, obviously this is spoilers, so fuck everything. Yeah. And you're left with Corliss, like Corliss there and with
old Tyler. Corliss. Yeah.
Yeah. You're left there with Corliss and Tywin Lannister.
Yes.
Who obviously becomes Hand and has a big role and the Regency, you know what I mean? And like, I think you just leave it. Yeah.
You would have to, right? But they're going to have to put some something, like, if they're really going to connect this to Game of Thrones, they're going to have to do something crazy. I don't know what it is. But as far as the story ending, for those of you who haven't read it, it just kind of ends. There's no, like, battle. But there is.
The
like,
problem is it doesn't end.
It just keeps going.
You just keep seeing the fallout, and the fallout.
Hooded Hand.
There's no, like, good place for it to end.
There's no, like, wow, this is, you know. There's no blowing up the Death Star, okay?
Because this,
like,
is not a story that's like, hey, here's Dance of the Dragons. It's a story of the history of the Targaryens in Westeros, and it starts before we get this show, and it continues to go for, you know, a couple decades after. So, I don't know.
But I mean, they'll figure it out. I guess they must have an ending. At least there's a written ending there, and it's not the showrunners trying to figure out what the writer was trying to do. But yeah, when Cregan Stark gets there, it'll be fun. But it's a lot of sitting around and a lot of justice being dispensed. Heads rolling.
Yeah,
I love that scene where one guy goes, I want to go to the wall. And like, and they're like, that's an option.
Yes, and like every single next 37 people said it. Yeah. I think except Laris Strong,
which makes him more interesting, you know, which makes him way more interesting. But, how he goes out.
Well, speaking of Cregan, I think the way to me that it plays out, I don't know if that's going to be in episode 2 or like whatever. But very early on, we have to see Winterfell. I don't know if they're going to show Jace in the Vale. I don't know if we're going to show Jace in the Vale, you know, talking to Lady Arryn and making that pact to get her support.
She's in it.
And then continuing on to Winterfell. But that's going to be very interesting, because what happens between Jacaerys and Cregan Stark is the Pact of Ice and Fire. We don't really know why. We're told that they seemingly form like a pretty close bond, that they're relatively similar in age. I think Jace reminds Cregan of his brothers or something like that. And there's a lot of speculation, including a potential wife of a bastard girl named Sarah Snow, that Jace actually fucked this girl. Oh, no, Mushroom says they got married, blah, 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 all this shit. We don't know what happens up there, but we assume that it's going to be very important, and that Jace might have revealed a lot of shit potentially about, you know, the prince that was promised. Who knows if he even knows that, I guess. But maybe Jace revealed something to get Cregan's, like, that type of loyalty from him.
Yeah.
Or maybe he shows him, hey, this is what we think is, like, that's why he's on the wall. This is what is protecting us from all these fucking things. So it's important that when this time comes, you know, we are very much like together in fighting this thing. Maybe that's the bond they have. We don't really know.
No, but it like, dude, that's good. That's going to be cool to see. Come on. See the wall again. It's going to be fucking cool. You know,
I would love to see, like, I guess it's kind of fucked now. Remember when, was it Queen Allison that flew up to the wall and her dragon, like, kind of refused to go past the wall?
Yes.
Kept, like, circling back around. That's all kind of fucked now, because I guess we do see in Game of Thrones, Daenerys, no problem going across the wall. So you could have argued, like, what is that reasoning? Is there some type of magical field that the dragon just doesn't want to go past? Who fucking knows?
We could have seen
that in this.
We could have. You're absolutely right. And there's the whole rumor of a clutch of dragon eggs there, which could be bullshit. But that's a rumor that's in the book, by the way. That's actually in the book, that the Maester says, nah, that's not true. But you're right. These are things they could have explored, and it would have been it would have given context to like why Aegon didn't conquer Westeros because of wargs or whatever. I mean, what's to stop a warg from like, hey, I'll take over a dragon, you know? And is, can they not do that because they're mystical creatures too? And which blows the whole, like, there's no magic in A Song of Ice and Fire, aside from the fact that George R. Martin has said there's magic in A Song of Ice and Fire. There's a lot of some people who think there isn't, but yeah. So seeing them go up there, seeing them go up north is going to be fucking cool. I'm really interested in that scene. We were wondering beforehand, like, hey, where would be a good place to end the season? And I think you know, the Rook's Rest would have been the best part. Would have been a good place to end it. But it looks like that's going to be middle of the season.
Yeah. So there are two major battles that we were like, okay, when we heard that it was only 8 episodes, you started wondering, could they actually get to Battle of the Gullet?
Yep.
Because to me, I actually thought Battle of the Gullet is the ideal, the perfect point to end the season. You almost end the season on the same way you ended season 1, which again, this is a spoiler stream, but the death of Jacaerys, the death of the heir to the Iron Throne, in the Battle of the Gullet, and also a very like tragic shit with Aegon and Viserys and things that happened. This battle with the Triarchy that comes to fruition.
Well, in the battle with the Triarchy, it looks like they had the dragons, they had all the advantages, and the Triarchy fucking wins. Like, and they sack the shit out of Gulltown, right? It's they like burn Corlys's castle. They fuck him up, man.
Yeah.
And it's bad. And this is, you know, right around the time you think Rhaenyra is like, she's kind of got this at this point. But let's dial it back to Rook's Rest, which was a trap by Criston Cole. And after they killed Jaehaerys, they're talking about just going, Aegon wanted to go to Dragonstone and just fucking burn her, like, and and completely attack. And Criston Cole's the one who actually talks him out of it. And so, no, let's pull the same shit they did. Let's pull the same shit they did. It's exactly how he said it too.
Yeah. And they lure him in, and that's when we get some dragons that get fucked up. This is the first time that we should see, other than, you know, a little chomp chomp from Vhagar, an actual dragon battle.
Yep.
Because you got Meleys versus Sunfire, but little does Meleys know, I think Vhagar's there too.
Vhagar,
so just Rhaenys, fucking Vhagar.
Rhaenys needs to go out to, she's called out, and she's the one who does it. She gets called out, and it was a trap, and the trap gets sprung. And it's Vhagar, Sunfire, and it's she holds her own for as long as she can, but she dies. Two dragons don't die. Sunfire gets fucked up, like wing torn. Vhagar's fine. Aemon and Vhagar are fine. But they get embroiled in this battle, and all the dragons like crash to the ground. Right.
Yeah. Like, that is going to be cool to see. They're in like this big mosh pit, basically.
Yep.
Kind of stop flying. They're just fucking each other up, and they just smash and hit the ground. And Meleys is dead. Sunfire is fucked. He's got like a wing torn off, and he can't fly anymore. Aegon gets fucked up completely, and that really removes Aegon from the story for a little while.
Yeah,
well, Aegon gets so King Aegon gets so fucked up that he can't rule anymore. So who gets to rule in his stead? Aemon
Targaryen.
Yeah, so it gets a little more competent, a little more brutal,
and it pretty much becomes Aemon versus Daemon, from separate seats for a while. And dude, Rhaenys almost takes out Sunfire though. Like, there's a point in the fight where she almost kills Aegon and should have. But that's when Vhagar comes and burns her. They find Rhaenys' body, well, what's left of it, and a bunch of people died. And Sunfire's, you know, they bring Aegon back to back to King's Landing.
They fucking carry him back all fucked up and burned and broken-legged and all this shit. They bring him back. But Sunfire, they don't know. Like, Sunfire can't fly. So what do you do? They just assign some people to watch Sunfire just in a little tent, like, you know, 100 meters away. And every once in a while, they just fucking throw him sheep and stuff like that to keep him alive.
When he's, well, after he's done feasting on all the dead bodies, they throw him sheep.
So yeah, after he eats like all the horses and people that are left over from the Battle of Rook's Rest, then they're like, well, you just got to bring him some sheep and shit.
And then he just disappears.
He heals. That, yeah, so
dragons, yeah,
because I think they send, I don't know if the Blacks at one point they send people to go finish off Sunfire because they know he's still sitting out there, and they get there and he's gone. So he's somewhere, and in the process, this is I think as Rhaenyra is taking King's Landing, we are so scattered brained with this entire thing. This is terrible for anyone watching that doesn't have any context. But after Rhaenyra eventually does take King's Landing, they don't find Aegon. Aegon was able to escape. And eventually they turn up together.
Yes. So. But yeah, but Sunfire disappears. There are two dragons later on in the story that do disappear completely from the story. They don't die. But by the end of this story, there's pretty much no dragons and there's pretty much no Targaryens. And it's supposed to be the cautionary tale that the Targaryens tell each other, even though, like, despite that, afterwards we get the Blackfyre rebellions and it gets fucking crazy. But, the importance of Targaryens being in the seat because of that prophecy makes the story crazier. So that's why I don't know why George waited so long on that one. Maybe he just felt like it was on the nose or something. Not really sure, but that's something you probably could have mentioned in Dance of the Dragons. It's great to see Jane Theory here, by the way.
Hey, what's up, Jane?
What's up, Jane?
Yeah, so I think that Battle of Rook's Rest is a massive, massive battle, massively important. That's going to be one of the things, one of the big parts of this season. But like you said, the title of episode 4 is what? Dance of the Dragons, or what is it?
Dance of the Dragons.
It's hard to imagine that that's not Rook's Rest.
Yeah.
So the question really is then, all right, then what happens? Because you got half of a season left. And I don't think we're getting Battle of the Gullet.
I don't think.
Maybe, like, we are, but.
Maybe.
I don't know if we're getting the Battle of the Gullet, which would have been Jacerys and the Dragon Seeds, you know, trying to save Aegon and Viserys. But we do have the Dragon Seeds. We know we're going to get that part at least.
Yep. But are we going to get nettles?
I haven't seen a nettles. Did you see the pictures of, is it Alan or Adam? Let's see. Adam.
Adam of Hull?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think my guess has always been, like, my feeling has always been that those kids are actually Corlys's bastards.
Yes, yes.
So essentially, for people that don't know, once this battle is, like, taken off, you saw them talking in at the end of season 1, Daemon's listing off all the different possibilities for dragons. We just need dragon riders.
Yep.
And after this battle really starts kicking off, they realize, all right, we need some more fucking dragon riders, because that is our advantage. If we can get riders for these dragons, we can have a massive advantage, even though they have the biggest dragon in Vhagar. So they start trying to find people who might think they have a little bit of Targaryen blood in them. And a lot of people try. A lot of people try to mount some of these unclaimed dragons. Doesn't work out for a lot of them. Does not work out for a lot of them. But we do get a handful of people that are able to mount and ride dragons. And that gives them a big advantage. Well, at least for a while it does.
And hence the name Seed is all the, all the bastards, the Valyrians, went down to town on Dragonstone and just banged all the wives and stuff. And they practiced the rite of first night, never really went away from it. They're big fans of it. And actually the minor lords and the shopkeepers and stuff were totally cool with it, because they, you know, Valyrians, especially Targaryens, were the closest thing to gods to them. That's how they saw themselves. So they were, like, honored if a Targaryen son came down and banged their wife. So they were cool with it. So that's the dragon seeds. And God, I don't want to get too far in it. But there's also the theory out there that a Daenerys is a dragon seed and not really a Targaryen. But that's for another day.
Oh, there's a good one.
Yeah. I don't believe it, but it's out there. Jane knows what I'm talking about. So yeah, they sweep up the dragon seeds, and that'll be fun episode for them trying to ride the dragons and break the dragons, which is hilarious. There's one dragon they don't even bother with, named the Cannibal, I think it's the third biggest dragon, right? It's the third, because Vhagar is the biggest dragon, and Vermithor is the second biggest dragon. So I think the third biggest is the Cannibal, who's a wild dragon who's been living on Dragonstone. They don't really know how long. It's old.
Yeah, there's like people that are like, oh, he's actually came over from Valyria. Like, there's like questions.
Yeah, they don't
know. Like people that like give theories like that and everything.
But he's always out there. So, and one of the most important characters is Nettles, because Nettles isn't a dragon seed. She's just a commoner girl who figures out how to train a dragon by feeding it sheep, basically, you know, and
just tricks it into like, you know, trusting her.
But they said something, and now they could have been lying, but they, being HBO, said that she's not going to be in this season, which is kind of weird. Because I can't see them. Well, we saw the seeds, so they're going to do the seeds. I don't know if they're combining characters. That would be fucking dumb, to be honest with you. But yeah, she's a very important character to Daemon later and to a lot of people. So yes, and Nettles is, you're right, chat. Nettles is your typical George R. R. Martin tomboy girl, which he has written 17 versions of.
Yeah, pretty much, exactly.
Yeah, like Arya, and you know. Jane thinks she is a dragon seed. Maybe she is. Corlys got down. I mean, he wasn't going to tell Rhaenys that he's cheating on her. So,
yeah, and that's always been my thing, because you do have, because they were asking anybody that thinks they have Targaryen blood, like, let us know, you maybe, because we need dragon riders. So you've got a woman from like the shipyards that says, hey, it claims that Laenor fathered these two children, Adam and Alan. And people are like, well, it kind of doesn't make any sense because he's gay as shit. You know what I mean? Like, no. people don't think that Rhaenyra's kids are Laenor's because everyone thinks he's gay as shit. So that never made sense to me in my head that it was so accepted. So my guess was either that it's actually Corlys's, because it's not until after Rhaenys dies that Corlys is like, yes, I want them legitimized type of thing. Or because of all the loss that Corlys goes through in this series, that he was willing just to believe that they were Laenor, so that he actually still had some blood that was out there.
Yeah.
Because throughout this entire thing, Corlys is such a unique character because he built up this house. He built up this house. His adventures made them go from just another random house that was really nothing, because yeah, they're from Valyria, but they're not the Targaryens. They don't ride dragons. They're just no big deal, to the richest house in the Seven Kingdoms, at least for a period of time. But because of that ambition, it leads him into these dangerous places where, you know, Laenor ends up marrying into what should be, you know, king consort, but his kids aren't his. He ends up dying. Laena ends up dying. So you've got Baela and Rhaena are like his, those are his only like actual blood relatives at this point. His brother, or I don't know if it's his brother in the actual book or if it's like a cousin or something that was trying to usurp him. But anyway, he's lost like everything. So I think he sees those kids as like his lineage potentially continue on. And he wants them to have the Valyrian name because he's just so desperate for that after everything that he's lost.
Yeah. They leave that open to interpretation, and we'll get some weird stuff like Laenor, you know, in the show being whisked off with his boyfriend. They let him live.
That's a great question.
That's that's not how it went down in the book, or even they didn't even insinuate that. And you know, I guess it couldn't have happened because, well, I mean, they blame Damon for that one too in the book.
Yes. Yes. Anytime there's a mysterious death, yeah, everyone just assumes Damon had a part to play, yeah, in it.
And that's not a bad assumption, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Whether it's his wife, whether it's Lenore, whether it's hell, even Lena, they probably figured he had something to do with it, or whether it's blood and cheese, all that stuff. But that brings up a great question of Sea Smoke.
Yeah.
Sea Smoke is Lenore's dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Lenore fucks off, goes away. How does Sea Smoke get another rider?
Mm.
Because for Adam to, because that's what happens. You get these dragon seas. One of them is Adam Velaryon. Well, Adam of Hall, who then becomes legitimizes Adam Velaryon. He mounts Sea Smoke. Sea Smoke is then his dragon.
Yep.
And that's not something that happens. It's not something we've ever seen happen, at least recorded, that a dragon, while bonded to someone else,
takes another still alive. Rider. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Now, Lenore is going to be in this season. Like, he's coming back somehow. They have to address it. And I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
What I was hoping that they would do was, after the Battle of Rook's Rest, when Rhaenys dies, Lenore comes back.
Yep.
My theory before we heard anything about season 2 is that's what happens. And then maybe Lenore does fight, whether he assumes his identity again, like whatever, who fucking knows. And then my theory to make it fit for the show would be have him die in the Battle of the Gullet, maybe helping, like, or trying to save Viserys, or helping Aegon escape or something, some sort of actual sacrifice, like a good sacrifice from a guy who ran away, you know, took that opportunity to run away and just live this life and abandon his family, abandon his responsibilities, for somebody to come back and do something like that. And that's how he ends it. I think that would be very fitting. And then it would free up Sea Smoke then to be mounted by Adam. But I don't know.
We'll see. I like that idea. Well,
I like it too. It's mine.
There you go.
Yeah.
You can own it. But like, yeah, after, you know, getting to the battle, like you basically have, let's see here. You basically have, you know, getting the dragon seeds after, and there's a lot of politicking they can do. In the meantime, there's no Rhaenyra's or Alicent, like, really mentioned very much. Rhaenyra. Rhaenyra, yeah, is still, she's still broken over the loss of Luke. She miscarried a daughter. So she's like bedridden most of the time and unable to fight. She gives the rule over to the council, basically what council she has. There is the Battle of the Cargill Twins. That one's good. The battle of the Cargill Twins, which we do see, like, it's going to happen. And it's supposed to foreshadow the entire show, basically. And the Cargill Twins, one is sent to Dragonstone to kill Rhaenyra. So he just dons his, you know, because they both wear the same, you know.
They look the same, yeah.
They look the fucking same, and they wear the same armor. So he gets into the castle. And then he runs across his brother, and there's the singers like to in the book anyway, the singers like to tell the tale of, like, I love you, brother. I love you. We'll still fight to the death. And they both died with tears in their eyes. And then I like the mushroom stories, like, fuck you, traitor, chops his arm off. And it's like,
yeah. The mushroom story is like the other so one took better. 3 days to bleed out and die.
Yeah.
It's like some miserable shit as opposed to this, like, glorified version of they died holding each other and crying.
Yeah. So I'm guessing the fight's going to go down like Mushroom's version, where one guy gets his arm completely chopped off up to the shoulder, but with his other arm grabs the other twin and guts him, hits him in the gut. And that's the one who dies, gets his arm cut off, dies immediately. And the other one dies cursing his brother's name for 3 days.
Yes. Yeah. I think that it's going to be a little in the middle.
Yeah.
I do think, because they did enough setup for them, that is one thing they took some time to do in that first season, was set them up. Obviously, it takes up with episode 9, really, when they're sent to find Aegon. and you get to see the friction, the disagreements between them about what's going on. And that leads to Sir Eric whisking Rhaenys away, allowing her to escape, and bringing Viserys's crown, Jaehaerys's crown, then Viserys's crown, to Rhaenyra and pledging his loyalty to her. So we get enough of those characters and the little face-off they had in the last episode on the Dragonstone Bridge, where I would be shocked if they didn't take a moment to like make it a pretty meaningful thing. You know?
Yeah. Well, and it's on the nose, but it's supposed to set up the whole story. Like everybody's going to die. So, I mean, like, and it'd be cool looking, and that's part of it. There is an app you've probably seen the behind the scenes where they bring, why am I blanking on Meili's head in the King's Landing, when they bring Aegon back, and it looks like they're going to be adding, especially in King's Landing, if we see, I'm blanking on their names now, Daemon's daughters fighting. Cause there is a scene where
Baela and Rhaena,
it's Baela is chasing Sir Criston Cole like into like a forest.
She's on Dragonback, right?
She's on Dragonback, yeah.
So there's we need to talk about this.
Okay.
Apparently, I get them confused at Baela and Rhaena. I don't know which one it is. One of them is getting Dark Sister for a period of time in this. Did you hear that?
No.
Daemon's giving Dark Sister to one of his daughters for a period of time. I fucking forget.
Why?
Don't know. I don't know if it's after he's fed up and he fucks off to Harrenhal. I don't like it. I hate it, in fact. Because now, although they very much are, one of the sisters is kind of pretty girl, like whatever. The other is the typical George R.R. Martin, likes to do things that boys do and fuck around and shit like that. So it does, you know, make sense narrative wise from that perspective. But how does he get it back? Because Daemon has Dark Sister by the time he goes after Aemon and Vhagar. Like they find Dark Sister at the bottom of the fucking lake, basically plunged through Aemon's eye.
Yes.
So we know that's where Dark Sister ends up. My guess is that Daemon gets fucking fed up with Rhaenyra. He's already pretty fed up with her at the end of season one. Yeah. I think he gets fed up with Rhaenyra and thinks she's either throwing stuff away or whatever. And that's when he decides, I'm just going to go to Harrenhal and fuck off here with Caraxes for a while. And maybe that's when he gives the sword as a kind of, cause he does fuck off in the story. And I think that might be when he gives Dark Sister to Baela, Rhaena. I fucking don't remember.
I can't remember either. I know one of them goes to the Eyrie. Right. So, because, one of their dragons didn't hatch. So she brings eggs, I think. I don't know this story as well as I know A Song of Ice and Fire because it's fucking boring. It's not my favorite book at all. I don't like the source material at all. And I think the show greatly improves on it for the most part. Cause like,
it's just like, it's tough to keep some of the names straight. Because there's so many characters that are involved. And especially when you get to the Targaryens, so many of them have sometimes the same fucking names, or sometimes very similar names. Talking about Rhaenys, Rhaenyra, Rhaena, shit like that.
And there's good battles coming up. We're not going to see them this season, but, you know, talked about the Battle of the God's Eye, you know, the fish feed. Like, that one's going to be brutal when the Northmen come down.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun. Not a lot of dragons in that one. They actually want to fight before dragons get involved. So you get to see Starks Starks getting slaughtered because these are all the old men. They come down on horseback and winter's coming. So they're like, we're just coming down to die. And they take on the Lannisters. So it'll be fun.
Yeah. I do wonder, do you think that when we, I guess I don't know if it's going to be Rook's Rest or whatever, but you can clearly see some Lannister soldiers in some of the previews. Yep. I don't know if that's going to be the Riverlands stuff initially, or if that's going to be Rook's Rest stuff. Where the fuck does this season end though? We still haven't answered that question.
I don't know. Cause you can't end it with, well, okay. It would have to be Battle of the Gullet, but we haven't seen. I
I haven't heard any reports or anything of them doing stuff.
That would be a huge scene. That is a giant sea battle, basically.
Yeah.
With dragons and ships.
But it's right after the dragon seed stuff. Now, they could do anything in this. They can obviously shift around a lot of timelines there. They're going to be free to do a lot of stuff with that. So all we're going for is like what makes sense of the way the book lays it out. But it's immediately after the dragon seed stuff that you have the goal, because that's like the first action that they see, the dragon seeds. Essentially, Aegon and Viserys, Rhaenyra's sons from Daemon.
Yes.
Aegon and Viserys.
Yes.
Again, this is why it gets so confusing.
It gets crazy. There's a lot of Aegons.
They are being transported from Dragonstone, like for their own safekeeping or whatever. And
on the Gay Abandoned, by the way.
The Gay Abandoned. Yeah. That's the name of the fucking ship. So they're getting transported. And it's as that happens that this like massive 100 ship fleet of the Triarchy, who's probably on the way to go stop the blockade, they run into them.
Yep.
So they are all of a sudden they're in a battle for their lives. And this is very close to Dragonstone, obviously. And so Jace and the Dragonstone or in the Dragon Seeds hop on their shit and go try to help. And that's when Vermax gets taken down somehow. We don't know exactly how Vermax gets taken down, but he goes down and Jacerys goes down with him, and the heir to the Iron Throne dies.
Yep. Yep. And
that's the perfect place to end, but I just don't know if they're going to get to that. We haven't heard any rumors about them getting to that.
No.
And I would be shocked if they're able to keep that stuff quiet, but the timeline thing is the only way I can make sense of that, because it's the perfect way to end. It's such a big, bold, disastrous way to end the season on such a low note for the Blacks, which is the same way we ended the first one. And I just think it makes narrative sense to do it like that.
Yeah, I think they're just going to probably switch around some battles. I think they'll make one a little earlier in the timeline. And so they have a battle to end on. But you don't necessarily, like, you know, because if it's... Because you're going to have to end one season on Rhaenyra taking over King's Landing. That's going to have to be the end.
I think that's season three.
Yeah. And then you end it. Then season four is her fucking everything up and ending badly. Maybe. Yeah. That'd be pretty tight. It'd be nice. You know, I like the fact that it's only four seasons. I think like this could get drawn out way too long. And there is so much politicking at the end. Like it could just go on forever. I think they're going to somehow try to, this is the part where I cringe. It's where I cringe, Jane. They're going to try to connect this. I mean, they already have, but they're going to find some connect. Like you'll see the Night King, like wake up or some shit at the end or something like,
yeah, whatever.
Or you'll see Bran, the actor who plays Bran at 50 years old, whatever, how old he is now. Like, you know,
that's what I think the trees are for. That's actually what I think it is. Now, if we actually get that scene where they get Bran and they get Sam or something.
Yeah.
He's just like telling him this story. And Sam's like, is that really how it all went down? And Bran's like, yes.
Yes.
And then that's how they end. And Sam's writing a fucking book. Yeah. Like,
oh, God.
Bro, I could see it happening. I hope they don't do that. But
I hope they don't do it. But you know they're going to do it. And Bran, like, plants a weirwood seed at King's Landing or something at the end.
Or he rolls outside and, like, picks up that old piece of paper that they tore out of the book when they were young.
Yeah. Jesus. Don't do it. Just we're giving him ideas.
Just something really cringe like that.
Oh, they're going to do it.
Oh, no,
they're
no, he goes, and he picks up Laris's club foot.
I know. I found it.
Yeah.
That bastard.
Because even that conversation happens in front of the tree, in front of the weirwood.
Yes. Yes. And you have to pay attention to those.
Any scene like that. Kristen Cole almost kills himself in front of the weirwood before Allison stops him. All the altercations and interactions between Allison and Rhaenyra take place in front of the Weirwood, including when she gets accused of sleeping with Daemon.
So who is looking through the trees then? Because there's faces in the trees. Now, those are carved, remember? They're carved faces. But is there a version of a three-eyed crow of Brynden Rivers back then? A green seer?
Hey, it's Alice Rivers.
Mm-mm. Oh.
We haven't talked about Alice Rivers yet.
Oh, maybe.
I'm just fucking making shit up, but might as well, right? She's supposed to have like these like powers and shit.
Yep.
So Alice Rivers is basically like a 45-year-old cougar who like woos Aemon.
Yeah. Like she survives it all. So she's supposed to be a strong bastard, but strong. The Strongs do have lineage to the First Men, right? Which I think you would have to have for green seers. And the Strongs get wiped out, like completely wiped out.
Laris, when Laris gets killed, that's the end of one of the oldest houses in Westeros.
Ancient line. Yeah. But yeah, Aemon gets really pissed at him and fucking kills the ones in the castle and stacks their heads up 3 feet high.
And that's because he goes to Harrenhal to confront Daemon, and Daemon is abandoned already.
Yep.
This will probably happen in like season three or four.
Yeah.
But he goes there to confront Daemon. Like Aemon just goes on a fucking warpath at some point. Cause he feels invincible. He's got Vhagar, all this shit. And yes, we just slaughters everybody in Harrenhal. Just more ghosts for Harrenhal, I suppose.
But not Alice Rivers, who is like rumored to be a woods witch. She's supposed to be 45. Mushroom says she's more like 60.
Yeah.
I could see Aemon being that kind of guy that would be into an older woman. He liked his mom.
There's older women, and then there's 60.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. That is a little different.
Yeah. But
she's even at that final confrontation.
Yes.
Between Daemon and Aemon when they talk before they fight.
Yeah. She, so dude, I wouldn't be surprised. That's your green seer right there. Let's get to some super chats. Shall we?
Let's do it.
We had to get our yayas out, man. Cause we can't like, Mahler will be all nope.
And he'll also be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I know.
Yeah. Which is probably what half the people that were watching this thought as we were just like rambling, scatterbrained.
Well, there's
stuff.
A bunch of, well, I like, there's no, I thought we were pretty good for me anyway. Pretty good for me. But like there are so many new, the biggest question is how do you keep Allison and Rhaenyra in this story that they're not in most of the time? They're not in the story most of the time. They're gone.
I think Rhaenyra, we at some point see Rhaenyra in battle.
She does don armor in the book and for one thing, and it could be that, but yeah, I think you're right.
And then I think Allison, for the most part, I feel like Allison is probably going to be trying to keep things. Well, here's the thing though. After the death of her grandson, I don't know, but I feel like what they've set up, Allison is the one that set all the shit in motion, right? And that's the great thing about this show is Rhaenyra's a fuck up. Rhaenyra did things she should not have done. As a result, Allison becomes very resentful of everything. She does things that she should not have done to try to make sure Rhaenyra doesn't get the crown, that her sons, you know, are able to get power and things like that. But she doesn't want to go that far, right? Yeah. She wants to do everything within what she considers honorable. But she talks to the wrong person, Laris, and ends up doing something that is unforgivable. And from that point, is sucked into it. And then even when she tells what Viserys said, she misinterprets the dream. It wasn't in bad faith or anything. She misinterprets what Viserys said in his last breaths to her and sets the stage for Aegon to become king. She doesn't want Rhaenyra killed. She doesn't want Rhaenyra's children killed. She doesn't want all that shit to happen. But they get down that path. And it all ends with Lucerys dying in Vhagar's jaws. So now Rhaenyra is fucking gonna be on a goddamn warpath and want to kill everyone, right? So you have like these people that have been wronged and are responding to how they were wronged and why they were wronged. So you can have sympathy and empathy for a lot of different sides while understanding that they're both also fucked up. So I think most of it is going to be Alicent desperately trying to hold things together and not let them get any more out of hand than they have, and realizing that she's really helpless to do so, that she's already too far down that path, and that these men that she was supposed to be guiding, you know, gently, they have lost control, and it's, you know, everything's up for grabs.
This season's more about the kids, like Rhys Only Fans, however you say his fucking Welsh name. Great characters, Otto Hightower. Fucking great. Don't get too attached to him. Just don't get too attached to anybody. Because they kill so many fucking characters and replace them with another family member so quick. It's in the book, it's hard to fucking keep track of. Like, they'll introduce a Blackwood who just dies the next sentence later. What the fuck was that for? Like, why even? Like, why'd you do that? You know,
tell you that everyone dies.
Yep. Yeah. The Blackwoods end up getting run by like 11-year-old boy, like, who's fucking badass. Who's like, you know, but,
So Dave L just said in chat, I think Ryan's right. And it could unfortunately go into the quote, women are the good people restraining the evil men's. The problem is they've already introduced that concept in season one. The problem with that is it doesn't work. These two women are the fucking reason the realm is the way it is right now.
Yep.
These two women, Rhaenyra and Alicent, are the reason that thousands and thousands of people are about to fucking die. That is this story.
You can sit there. I'll bring the super chat back up. So what the concept of that is, well, it's a patriarchal system. Yes, it's a medieval patriarch. That's the system they live in. And when George does his characters right, it's women being second class and being able to work within that system and gain power. Like, that's the interesting part. Yeah. But it is Rhaenyra knowing she fucked a guy and had a bunch of fucking bastards, and it was obvious. And then Alicent, who felt repressed because she was doing everything by the book and everything her dad told her, and then felt lied to and betrayed, and didn't realize the game. Like, her dad even tried to warn her, like, you're going to get into a game. You can't play it nice. Once you get in it, you cannot play it nice. That's what this world is. That's just the reality of the world.
Yeah.
So they fuck it up, and well, by the end, a dude's back in charge. So
yeah, and that's why, like, even though Rhaenyra, I'm rooting for the blacks. That's the side that I'm kind of like leaning towards, ironically for me. But with all that being said, Rhaenyra absolutely should not be queen. Like, she did not have, she had a fucking extramarital affair, but she had kids from it, right? She did not have kids with her actual married spouse. Laenor is not the father of her children. That is a massive fuck up, and good reason for anyone in the realm to not want her to be queen. People are justified in not wanting her to rule, not just because of the way Targaryens had done things for the past century, but because of her actions.
And
that's
her actions
not befitting someone that should be ruler.
A lot of lords who pledged themselves to her killed, right? And part of that vow, it's reciprocal. Like, you're going to act like a queen, and I got your back. Well, she didn't act like a queen. She showed no potential for it. And we'll see how it plays out in the show. We'll see how it plays out in the show. But if you want to know, women completely fuck up the realm and get a bunch of dragons killed. And dudes do too, but both women are basically in charge for a long time. Like, even, you know, when Aemon doesn't take he's just protector of the realm when he takes over for his brother.
He doesn't try to crown himself king or anything.
No. So, but yeah, women play their part in completely fucking up the realm. So,
obviously, I do not like race swapping characters. I think it's unnecessary. I don't think it should happen. With that being said, the one of the changes, obviously, the Valyrians are black, so Laenor's black, which changes the story from, some people are a little suspicious because they think Lainor's gay, and this guy like kind of looks like they don't really have like high class features, look a little bit simple. It changes up from that, like a little bit of rumor, to every single person knows, except Viserys, who won't accept it, that those are not Lainor's kids.
Yep.
Which I actually think is good for the way that they're telling the story, because it makes Rhaenyra look worse, and it makes her in a position that weakens her house. It's embarrassing. It leads to a lot of other fucked up things happening, including what happens to Corlys's brother and the heir to Driftmark stuff that we went through. It does add a different element to it, because it takes it from a rumor potential to, yeah, no shit, these are not his fucking kids.
No, Emperor has no clothes. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah.
Really well done. And then when you think of the Valyrians, right? They bailed Valyria sooner because they didn't have a life there. They were just, you know, if you weren't a dragon lord, you were a second class citizen in Valyria, what we know of it, right? And there was 20 something, help me, Jane, 20 something dragon lord houses, and the Targaryens weren't even close to the top.
They were just an average one. Yeah.
Yeah. They were an average one. Like the real badass ones that were deadly and had huge fucking dragons, they all died. They all died. Doom of Valyria would be fucking fun to watch. Just, you know.
I want Aegon's Conquest, yes. Robert's Rebellion. Somebody asked me the question the other day. They're like, what do you think a future is for A Song of Ice and Fire? I'm like, it's not the books.
TV.
It's us watching it on TV. That's yep. it.
Yep. So Game of Thrones ended the way it did. And if things go right, this could be the better show. This could be the better show.
It only has a couple seasons, so it's, you know, the chance.
Got a better chance. Yes.
It's got a better chance of having a nice, tight, you know, four-season arc.
Yep. All right. Slick gossip for five British pounds, proper money. I watched an interview with Olivia Cooke and Emma D'Arcy saying that too many men in House of the Dragon. Thoughts, gentlemen? That's them talking. They're probably being...
My guess is that they're just joking around a little bit, but yeah. I haven't seen the interview.
Olivia Cooke is hot. I know that.
She is hot, but then she also has like a... In the show, she has a way of that's like crazy eyes that she does. Oh, yeah. That yeah. are like... It just makes her look really fucking scary. I think she's really good in the role.
She's great in the role. Dude, when the younger version, the younger versions did such a good job in this. When she walks into that room the first time with her green dress on, that whole thing, like, you know, normally I wouldn't give a fuck about a scene like that, but it was so fucking well done. And the whole high tower.
What color is the tower in Old Town when the Old Town goes to war?
Like
green.
they could have left that out. Us, yeah. But like, I know, but like we figured it out, but like that whole scene where she's walking by the Hightower family and all the other girls are just kind of like, oh, look at you. You know, that was fucking rad. That was good. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. They do a very good job of matching energies and matching expressions and all that stuff from the younger to the older versions. 100%.
Yep. Yeah. That was pretty well done. I'm only invested in the final episode of the entire show. I want to see the old man of the North and the hour of the wolf. And that's really it. It'll be fun. That part will be fun.
Yeah. But like, it's not anything if you don't see the rest of it.
No, but that, I mean, seeing the Starks coming down, like just bloodthirsty, wanting to fucking fight and they don't get a fight.
Yeah.
And they have to like pawn off all the guys on all the widows of the Riverlands.
Yeah. So what happens at the end is the Starks basically come down, but it takes them a long time to gather all their strength. It's a really big army. So, you know, the North army comes down, but they're too late. Everything's already taken place. And at that point, you've got blacks and you've got greens. There's still like infighting because of who took whichever side. And the question is who should fucking be king now? And you have, so Rhaenyra dies and then Aegon dies and Aegon gets poisoned by Corlys. I don't know if that's confirmed or just speculated, but he gets poisoned by Corlys and you're left with Rhaenyra's son, Aegon. Yeah, he doesn't deny it, I guess.
Yeah.
He gets poisoned, and then Aegon dies, and you're left with Aegon, Rhaenyra's, at that point, thought to be only surviving child.
Yep.
Aegon the third. But nobody really knows what to fucking do. And Cregan Stark comes down and just takes charge, basically institutes martial law over King's Landing, and he gets the stories from everything that happened, and he just fucking executes anybody that he think needs to be executed.
It's like fucking daddy comes home after this fucking war. It's kind of funny. Yeah, and he just fucking chops heads off and like, we're going to get this figured out. Everybody sit down.
Yeah.
And so
he does spare Corlys.
He does.
Which is a good thing, because Corlys is a very balanced hand, and he's like needed. And then they institute a regency for Aegon, which consists of like, I don't know, 7 or 8 or people or something like that. Yep. A mixture of blacks and greens.
Yep.
Tywin Lannister, second son by 2 minutes, who is like blind and gross and looks like shit. So he just has like a hood that he wears to not make people so grossed out by his features.
The
but then people
hand.
See the hood and then they're like, whoa, he's really up to something weird. He's like a witch or a wizard or some shit. So
and he was actually a pretty good hand. He was actually a really great hand.
Yeah. That's what we mean. The story never fucking ends, because then they just tell all these stories about like Tywin Lannister's rule, like when he was the hand. They get really into detail about like a winter flu that happens.
I know.
Like COVID comes to Westeros and
COVID
comes to Westeros. And
is that what actually gets Allison? It's COVID, right?
It might be.
I think that's what got Allison.
It's like only 25% of people that caught it actually survived.
Yeah.
There's like, it's a 4-day incubation window. And once you get the shivers, you got 3 days to live. And they're like, and then Tywin Lannister one night, in the Tower of the Hand, asked his servant, can you close that window? It's really cold in here. But the window is already closed and the fire was blazing. And one day later, the Hooded Hand died. Like some story like that.
So much time on that. Like, you're like, you know, yeah. I could have gotten a little more detail on like Daemon at Harrenhal, you know, it's like,
give me like a day in the life of Daemon instead of that even much in detail
in the book. Fucking Jaehaerys, dude, they go over like every detail of his fucking long reign is most of the book. So Fire and Blood is part one. Fire and Blood is part one of the Targaryen history, which we mostly already have already. Like, he just fills in some other stuff, which is kind of crazy. Thank you, Kremil 12 for the $10. I appreciate it. Jeremy Ice and Fire 33 for $5. I saw the first 3 episodes and it's great so far.
Shit.
Hail. Oh, that's awesome. You got them early because I know they're out. I know they've been out for a while for the reviewers. A few deviations, but quality storytelling. Blood and Cheese was very dark. Good.
Good.
Good. King Aegon performance steals the show. I heard he's good in this. I heard he's quite good in this. Well done. Philip Poole, thanks for being a member. Appreciate it. Miso Trashed for $10. 4,712 days since A Dance with Dragons. Is that true? I can look it up. I mean, I'm not denying you. I know you're right. But let's just check. How many days since July 12th, 2011? You must be in a different part of the world. 416 days. Okay, pal. 416 days. Not bad. If you're guessing, not fucking bad. Like, pretty close. Grandmaster Chris is a member. Hail, Grandmaster Chris. Welcome. Midnight Man for $4.99. Off topic. Can a Blackfyre Rebellion TV show work? Yes. Well, we're getting one. We're essentially getting one with Duncan Egg. Because it chronicles the Blackfyre Rebellion.
It's a backdoor Blackfyre Rebellion history book that's just in the background.
Also, what are your theories of young Griff? Is he really a Blackfyre in the books? I think he's a Targaryen.
It's funny how the longer time goes, people like start shifting like what they think or what they thought. Yeah. Just because there's so much damn time, everybody has enough time to convince themselves of whatever.
Well, especially if you're watching A Dance with the Dragons, that it was foreshadowing A Song of Ice Fire, then it would make sense he was actually a Targaryen. And it's not like George hasn't done fake out deaths a million times.
Yeah.
A million times in the book. You know, we can do theories on who is actually who in Game of Thrones, because there are some fake out people of like, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, there's so many theories about this person is actually this person.
Yep.
yeah.
And they're good. They're good. Like, there's a lot of people who disappeared, right? And we haven't seen for a long time.
It's a combination of the crazy storytelling by George, you know, and how much detail he goes into and how many characters get introduced and things like that. And also how much themes repeat themselves in his books, combined with the fact that it's been so long. So it, like, people have nothing else to do other than reread and try to make some connection here or there, or try to predict what may or may not have happened, which I imagine George sees like 90% of these videos is like, what the fuck? Like,
yep.
Well, probably not. He probably didn't watch shit.
What about Benjen Stark as Dario Naharis? I love the videos too, but how the fuck, where did he go? Who knows?
I was watching Glidus and Alt Shift X on one of their just random dumb streams where they did a random ice and fire theory generator that would just spit out like bullshit. It would just spit out bullshit, and then they had to guess what the other person was trying to describe, like what the theory is.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was really funny. And they did it by drawing. It was like Pictionary.
Alt Shift X, A Song of Ice and Fire Theory Iceberg fucking stream was great. That was,
yeah, just give me 8 hours of that and download it in my veins.
God damn, that was great.
Yeah, they do they do great streams together.
They do. But Blackfyre Rebellion, yeah, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, Duncan Egg. We're gonna get Brendan Rivers. Can't fucking whoever they cast, that's gonna be an important character. So can't wait to see it. The albino Targaryen bastard with his army of weirwood archers. That's fucking awesome. The whole concept is awesome. And he's basically Elric. So Grandmaster Chris for $4.99. Hi, Gary and Ryan, my two favorite YouTubers. Hail. It is so nice to be excited for something for once. It is 4,716 days since the Dance with Dragons. Hashtag RIP Star Wars. Yeah, Star Wars is pretty dead. Pretty dead. Oh, we get that awesome Acolyte episode.
Oh, yeah. Acolyte's Tuesday. Great.
I mean, so trash for $2. I think the show has a good amount of strong blacks. I think it does, too. It does?
It does have strong blacks. That can be taken multiple ways.
It can. I think the show said blood and cheese were meant to be Aemond.
To get Aemond?
Oh, to get Aemond. To get like Aemond, sorry.
Kill him?
To get Aemond? Well, it was theorized in the book. I'm going back in the book, and they thought they had access. They could have killed the Hand. Maybe they wanted to get Aegon, but son for a son. I think they went who they went for purposefully.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. That's what it feels like. Even the strategy to ask which one of us you want to kill, like, to then kill the other one, seems pretty calculated. But maybe it was just heat of the moment. Wow, let's be as fucked up as we can.
Let's improvise. Maybe Daemon told him, you can improvise if you want. And with Viserys II, since he's the direct ancestor. Yeah, that would take a while, though.
Yeah, we can't do that in 4 seasons.
Unless they cut out a lot of shit, which they could. Apex Calibre for $1.99. Jane's here. House Stark forever. That's right. We're all about House Stark here.
You get him pretty early on, but then we won't see him for forever.
Glad you're doing well, Jane. We miss you. Corey Smith, who's been a member for 2 months. Do we see Bloody Dustin this season?
Ooh.
okay, here's the problem with some of these battles, right? They don't really involve main characters. So if you put a main character at some of these, like the Battle of the God's Eye, for example, there's no Daemon, there's no Aemon, you know. But if they switch some characters around, maybe. I'm going to cheer when Rhaenys dies. that will be a brutal part with Aegon getting mangled. Says Minna Galen.
I understand why some people hate Rhaenys, you know.
Well, the small folk should fucking hate her guts.
Well, yeah, she killed a bunch, but small folk don't matter. I don't understand how many times we have to get through this, but they don't fucking matter unless they're really upset at King's Landing because you just raised taxes by 3 times. And that's why they all want you, Rhaenyra, to die.
Yeah. The small folk are just there to support the power and be afraid. That's why Targaryens is smart to like, and that's why it was really fucking stupid at the end of Game of Thrones. You don't burn down King's Landing, because you do that, all the small folk turn on you, like all of them do. And your seat of power is gone.
How do you think that, because obviously that happens.
Yes.
Like that is going to happen in Ice and Fire, right?
Yes.
Like it's obviously going to happen a different way. Why do you think it happens?
I don't think it's because Missandei gets her fucking head chopped off. I think it will be far more cruel. It'll be far more cruel. And it'll be, I don't think it'll be Cersei there.
I think it's because Fagon is there and the people are rejoicing and praising him. That's what I think.
And remember, she didn't really do it in Meereen, right? She fucking crucified all the slave masters. But you're going to see Daenerys go on an arc, right? She's going to learn how to be a queen, but she's going to lose her shit at some point. She is. So I definitely think, like we've talked about it before, the exact ending, I think, goes down that way. I think Jon Snow has to kill her and then he gets banished. I don't think it's as fucking dumb as talking Grey Worm. It's like that. I think that there'll be so much more that happens. But I think she'll keep losing allies, but it'll be slowly. It won't be as fast. Like I think she loses Barristan in the Battle of Fire that's going on in Meereen right now. I think Barristan dies then.
Yeah, like in the next couple chapters, he's probably going to die opening. Yeah.
And then she'll just keep losing allies as time goes on. She'll be alone, right? And then that it probably goes down that way. It'll make, well, we'll never know because the book's not going to finish. But
it'll make more sense. Yeah.
Theoretically, if you turn on CERN and we go to a different reality where George actually fucking writes his book, it would make more sense.
It just like doesn't make sense for her to do that when it's not like Cersei's beloved or anything. Like, you know what I mean? I think it's going to take her like doing all of this stuff, losing so much shit, losing all these people that are close to her, only to get there and see them embracing like Fagon. Like loving that he's there and like very supportive of him and shit. And I think she's going to show up and see that and say, these motherfuckers, and just burn everything.
Yep.
Be all right.
That will be all right. We don't know if we're going to get a Night King. I don't think we're getting a Night King. I don't know. I think it all depends on what happens to Jon Snow when he gets resurrected. Like, what's he going to be? What type of a white? Because remember, there's fire whites and then there's the whites. So is he going to be a fire white? Because we do know. Why am I blanking on her name now? Stannis' daughter.
Tree. Sure. Yeah.
We do know that, like George said specifically, she gets burned. Like that happens. So that Shireen gets fucking burned. We know that happens. And I think that sacrifice is what brings John back. I think that's, it wasn't meant to, but it was, I think that sacrifice brings John back.
I mean, George has been very adamant that death has consequences. The death changes you. And so we're not going to get the Jon Snow that we got in the show.
No.
There's like nothing different about him. Other than he's got a couple holes in him. we're going to get like a very different person, especially if he spent a little bit of time in Ghost, you know, like if, cause he has, right. He will. If he spent a significant amount of time in Ghost and then he comes back, he's going to be very, very different. So.
Yeah. And he's, and Alt Shift X just did a video on it. He's very different in the books. He's way more, he's getting more politically fucking video.
That was a fantastic video by him. Like showing how much is wrong with the Jon Snow portrayal in the show. Not wrong, just different, right? It's not the same character. The idea that Jon, like, just this completely good, never tell a lie, honorable, like whatever. That's not who he is in the books. Not to say he's bad or anything, but.
No. He'll killed Corin Halfhand, dude. I mean, he had to, but he killed him.
That was
still fucked up.
Corin Halfhand killed himself.
Yeah. But it's still fucked up. You know, it's not good. He had no choice. He's totally justified, but it's still fucked up.
I don't think that's fucked up. I think that was like Corin was killing himself.
Yeah.
I don't think that's fucked up.
He likes Val.
He does. He
wants to bang Val.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess everybody wants to bang Val. Apparently she's really hot.
And he switches the babies and shit. That like that is like a crazy thing, right? For him. Like the idea of him doing something like that, of switching those babies, and that Gilly's baby has a potential to be killed because of that, and he knowingly makes her go anyway with the other baby.
And that baby's supposed to be a white, by the way. It's supposed to be sacrificed to the others. Not a white, an other. It's supposed to be an other. So I
just don't think for, like, if you just watch the show, I don't think anyone would dare think that John could do something like that.
No, but he does it.
Yeah.
It's fucked up. Even Sam.
He feels fucked up about it. You know, he does. He doesn't feel good about it, but he does what he thinks is best.
There's a crazy hot redhead wants to burn babies.
Yeah. Well, and he also like shows a lot of he shouldn't be going out of his way like this to help Stannis and be so close to Stannis with all the shit that's going on in the realm. He definitely shouldn't, but he's kind of choosing a side.
Yep. Stannis the Manus, by the way. Hail Stannis. Fucking the one love true Stannis. King. The one true king. That son of a bitch. Just saw Two Towers in theaters for the first time, says Adam Milne, for 2 Canadian pesos. Awesome. Hope you loved it. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Angry Goat, been a member for 27 months. Of all the characters, I don't really understand Helena. She's a dreamer. No one understands her. Feels like there should be more, but I missed it. Yeah, like Ryan perfectly described, they just made her autistic. And that's going to be interesting. I think it would have been fine to make her pretty normal, that she was a dreamer, and then like having her kid beheaded right in front of her would make her crazy. I think that would be enough.
I don't mind. Like it would be kind of, if you didn't have her be like a little weird like that, there would be like no point for her even being the show. She's a nothing character until she watches her kid's head get chopped off.
Now, do they add to her character later? Maybe, like maybe she gets a little more, but she just locks herself in a room pretty much for the rest of the time.
And like jumps off and kills herself.
Yeah. The only reason I don't think Adam and Alan are Corlys's is because Valyrians have never been dragon riders until Laena and Laenor.
Yeah. So like that's the thing. Either they're Corlys's kids or they're a rant like random bastards.
Yeah, there must be
that he sees, and then he just convinces himself that they must be his kids, even though they're not. I think that they could be descendants from some fucking Targaryen fucking around 50 years ago. Do you know what I mean?
But you could have a drop of dragon blood, and the dragons will at least react to you. We with Plum, you know, we got that. The dragons were a little nice around him, and they liked him because he had a little drop of dragon blood, he thinks. So maybe like maybe not from the Corlys side, but maybe from another side.
Does that mean Robert could ride a dragon?
Maybe.
Robert was what, like
16th? Yeah,
16th Targaryen or some shit, like, or maybe 1/8.
Yeah, they're all descended. Well, later ones are descended from Targaryens, yes.
Yeah, because like it was some aunt or some shit.
Yep.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot, but like that was one of the justifications for Robert to become king after all that stuff, because he did have at least some Targaryen blood in him. Yeah.
Well, like the first Baratheon was Aegon's boy, his right hand. Then he killed the Lord of Storm's End, and then banged his daughter.
Yeah.
Took his sigil.
That's like pure Baratheon.
So you know Baratheon, I mean? Yep. Chef Nick Nero says, nice to see father and son on a stream. You know, we like to get our father and son time.
Father's Day weekend, you know, we're going to be reviewing House of the Dragon, where a child gets their head chopped off.
Yeah.
So nothing says Father's Day like that.
Nothing says Father's Day. Well, you know, you can kill your dad on the toilet. They did that on Father's Day. And then in Westworld season 2, the Man in Black killed his daughter on Father's Day. So why not?
Damn.
The only reason I don't, oh, I read that one because I'm dumb. How would a modern audience screw it up, Matthew Habit? Very easily. They could easily screw this up. If they start amping up Allison's role and like Allison dons armor and fucking rides a dragon against Rhaenyra, that would be some fucking retarded shit. So the only thing that semi justifies what I think is a horrible scene at the end of episode 9 is when Rhaenys, the only way to justify it is Rhaenys is out there like, I don't want to hurt any mothers, but she's talking about royal mothers and members of her family. She doesn't give a fuck about the small folk mothers that she murders while escaping. And they, when Maelys gets out of the dragon pin, like the special effects work, they specifically show the dragon stepping on people.
They showed like in the tail sweeping them into like the hole and shit.
Yeah.
He killed a fuck ton of people.
Yeah, she did.
The small folk dude. We saw, remember, what a great sequence in episode 3 when Daemon goes with Corlys to the Stepstones and that dude is nailed there sitting here eaten by crabs and he hears Caraxes.
Oh, I know.
He's like, Daemon, my prince, Daemon, he's here to save us. And Daemon just starts burning all these triarchy fucks, all this shit. He's like, my prince, save me. And Daemon just fucking cracks. He comes down and squashes him and kills him. Like, no fucks give him.
Yep.
The small folk do not matter, and they never will. It's the way it should be.
Exactly. I was an extra on a couple of seasons of Game of Thrones. HBO are a pack of tossers. We were given chocolate bars for lunch on 16-hour days. No way. but they're all
jokes on you. You said you did it for a couple seasons.
Yeah.
So it must have been good enough to keep coming back to.
Like a Clark bar or something, or you
know. Some Reese's, you know? Some
Reese's.
Yeah.
Something like that.
That's funny though.
No, that sounds like a crew. You know, that's why they were like, whoa, solidarity, we're all on strike. And they fucking work you like dogs. And it's for pretend. It's pretend. Toxic Man Flu has been a member for 41 months. What's up, Tox? Holy cow, 41 months now. Is this series the Star Wars trilogy Dan and Dave are doing, or is it Rian Johnson's? I'm so confused. It's Ryan Kendall's, who as thought I was saying Ryan Kinnell. It's Ryan Kendall's.
As thought you kept saying that?
Yeah, he's like, why are you saying Ryan Kendall? And I'm like, that's the showrunner, dumbass. He thought I was mispronouncing your name.
I say Ryan Condal just because it's not close enough to my name.
Okay.
I think it is Kendall, I think, but I don't know.
Well, so far he's a competent showrunner, and the real idiot is gone now. So we'll see.
Miguel Sapochnik.
Good director, fucking moron.
Anybody starts talking long enough that's behind the scenes stuff, it's not good. it's really
HBO needs to get rid of that. Like, what made Game of Thrones season 8 a thousand times worse was Dan and Dave's explanations after each episode. If they were just not there, it wouldn't have been as bad. I kind of forgot. She kind of forgot. That is going to go down in television history. at both the Fellowship and Two Towers screenings, one of the last things I saw in previews was an ad for House of the Dragon. Oh, that's smart. It's Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers distributes it, so that makes sense. That is really smart of them. The fact that we're starting to see streaming things advertised in theaters is...
I know.
Seems counterintuitive, but hey, what are you going to do?
Well, you know, they're taking money for advertising. It's like, here's your training your replacement, basically. That's what you're doing. I saw Rings of Power shit in the theater. The sea is always right. Corlys Velaryon will not be saying that after the Battle of the Gullet. I agree with Rippa.
What a Rippa. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you. Can't get behind Ryan's idea of seeing Bobby B's rebellion and Aegon's conquest, though. I'd love to see him. Though the first Blackfyre,
he said, can get. You added a T randomly.
I just wanted him to disagree with you to create some drama. That's what I was doing. Or I'm retarded. I apologize, Adler BW. I'm gonna reread that. Can get behind Ryan's idea of seeing Bobby B's rebellion and Aegon's conquest. Those would be fucking bangers. If they cast it right, those would be great. Though the first Blackfyre Rebellion would also be cool beneath the gold, the bitter steel. Yeah.
Somebody asked me the other day on Twitter, I think it was Blue Eyed Scorpio's retarded ass, because he couldn't look it up for himself. But he's like, hey, and he tags me. He's like, how old would Henry Cavill make a good young Robert Baratheon? And I was like, well, Henry Cavill's like older than Robert Baratheon was when he died, so probably not.
Nah.
He was like 20 or 21 during the rebellion. He's super young.
Yeah.
I always thought that Henry Cavill would make a good Aegon, but he's Aegon. too old for that kind of.
Yeah.
But I always saw him in that role.
Hell yeah. We'll see. I think that one will happen. I think that one will get that one. I think the Duncan Egg stuff could be pretty good. It'll be very different, but it could be pretty good. Kind of like Lone Wolf and Cub in Westeros. It's basically what it is. Would you have liked to see the story expanded to Yi-T or Southeros? I like those left to your imagination. I don't need everything explained. Like A Shy by the Shadow is awesome, and it's very Lovecraftian, and it's great in your imagination. I don't think we ever need to go there. Maybe if Daenerys has like a vision or something, that'd be fine. But no, I like that world just not being part of it. And it also implicates, you know, the Empire of the Dawn. If you ever watched Lightbringer's videos on the Empire of the Dawn, and those were the true dragon riders and stuff. I just like that lore being out there. I think that adds texture to your story that you don't need every detail of.
You don't need to explain it. It's good to have a little bit of substance, but a lot of mystery.
Like all the mazes and all the oily stone. The
oily stone that shows up everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just,
we never need to know what that is.
Nope. Always felt like lost opportunities. Read World of Ice and Fire. That's one of the history books that I fucking love. I love that book, man. It has got some good world building lore in it. That's all it is. Plus, Roy Dotrice still reads part of that one in the audiobook. You all right, Ryan? Do you need to go soon?
I'm good. We're almost through, yeah?
Yeah, we are. Charlie Sinclair says, Padres make me sad. We are a 500 team. The Padres make me sad every year. Every year.
Cubs fan.
Yeah, well, you won a World Series.
I've had 1 year. Yes, but we've been around longer than you. We went 108 years without winning a World Series. It's been 8 years since then. So one out of 116 years, we had a good year.
I'm going to be like Gen Z. Nothing before I was born fucking mattered. So especially when it comes to baseball. And the Padres and I were born the same year. And I'm from San Diego. And it's the only team that's still in San Diego. So I'm a Padre fan. But fucking
that
sucks.
That is kind of brutal.
It's fucking brutal, dude.
Like when you think about it from that perspective. Yeah.
All my life, I saw him beat the Cubs in the 84 ALCS. Yeah. Fucking Steve Garvey. That was fucking awesome, dude.
My dad had this such a cool fucking cup that had like a newspaper article about that NLC championship stuff from back in the day that I like vividly remember it. Stands out in my head. I don't know why they would make a newspaper into a cup, but they did, and they sold them like crazy.
Oh, dude, they used to do that.
Yeah.
My grammy from South Dakota used to take empty beer cans and crochet them into hats and make like Coors hats for the kids for Christmas. So she'd give us Coors hats.
Were they like smashed or still?
No, so she cut them like as a can, and she cut it the top off so the aluminum would come out like this, and then she cut it in strips. So you'd have strips of like a quarter or a third of a can and little crochet in between. It's a goofy ass fucking crochet German grandma. Okay. She was fucking awesome though.
That's really crazy that you ended up abusing alcohol and drugs.
It's so weird. It's so weird. Thanks for becoming a member. Dragon Lizard. Appreciate you. Lucifer the Doberman for 5 Canadian pesos. I really want a Blood Raven spinoff. Fucking Blood Raven's off. Awesome. Great character. My favorite character. Off of Dunkin' Egg. You know it would be good. But I think he's best as a background character in the shadows manipulating things. Because he was actually... We don't know if he's good or not. We still don't know if he's good or not. It's very questionable. He might... And good might not be a good application for him. He is doing what's best for the realm. But he's doing some extremely fucked up things, including possibly... grooming Bran to take over his body.
So. Yeah, he is doing things against other people's will. The way that he used Jojen and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
obviously this is the total for the greater good story.
It is.
If that is actually what he's doing, you know,
if that's what he's doing, if he's even in control, it might be the children of the forest wanting to just want all the men to kill themselves. Because it might be their final play. You know, do we trust these little children of the forest, these little deer looking elfy people? I don't trust them.
They look like Comics Division.
Default for $4.99. What battles are you most looking forward to? As awesome as the dragon fights are going to be, I still hope we get to see the fish feed. Could be epic. I want to see the fish feed. Cause just a lot of people fucking die. And it's one army backed up against a lake. So they got nowhere to fucking go. And they fight in the reeds and shit and in armor. And it's just a bunch of Northmen who went down there to die. It's a bunch of old grizzled.
Yeah.
Northmen.
It's like when the food stores get too low, they like go south to fight.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Which is kind of, tells you about the Northerners a lot.
Yep. And the Battle of the Gullet. I think that's going to be epic. I think that's going to be kind of epic.
Battle of the Gullet is what I'm looking for. Rook's Rest is whatever. Really, it's the dragon fight we're looking for there. But yeah, Battle of the Gullet's going to be nuts. The crazy thing about season one is it's not about the battles. It's about these characters interacting with each other. You get very little action. And it didn't need any.
No, it really didn't. I mean, there was some good action in it, but the best scenes, the best TV scene I've seen in years was a guy walking across a hall for his daughter. Like,
yeah. And the reality is, as crazy as Game of Thrones became later on, and people loved some of the big battles and stuff, what made it good in the beginning was not the battles. They didn't have the budget for it. They skipped over battles that happened in the book.
Yep.
Because they didn't have the budget for it. What made it good was the characters interacting with each other with their different agendas and their different personalities. Yep. Like that is what made it good. I was thinking about that when I was rewatching it.
That's where George excels. George excels in dialogue. Like his fucking dialogue and his character interaction is unbelievable. And one of the better speeches wasn't in the book. You know, chaos is a ladder, but like all a Tyrion shit, that's lifted right from the book, right from the
good
book.
Stuff is. Yeah. Yeah. You can tell when they run out of dialogue for these characters like Tyrion and Varys, because they start sounding retarded. They just make cock jokes, which listen, nothing wrong with a good dick joke, but for these characters, if that's all it is, that's a problem.
And Varys, they made too good, way too good, you know, cause he ain't, God. A Dance with Dragons, that epilogue is fucking awesome. It's like something finally fucking happens for one. And dude, it happens as Ryan yawns. But
sorry.
It's all good. I don't care. It's late.
It is late. See, these Sunday is like a busy fucking day for me.
I bet.
Sports Wars stream. Then I went on George the Giant Slayer's stream. Then I did my stream, and now we're here.
Fucking A. Thanks for being here, man. I appreciate
Thanks for having me. It's fun.
Of course. I want Blood and Cheese. This is the most I've looked forward to infanticide ever. I love you. I love George. Love you, George. Yeah, it's woo. That's gonna be the first episode. And it'll probably be right at the end. So they'll probably have Damon, you know, go into Harrenhal and Rhaenyra planning and all kinds of
See, stuff. I that is one thing I wonder if they're going to maybe change that up a little bit. Because the plan, remember at the end of season one, the plan was like, okay, Damon's like going to go, but he's there to deliver the message that Lucerys is dead. So obviously he's not at Harrenhal yet. I think they're going to take care of that shit. Then he goes to Harrenhal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know when we see that. It might be episode 3 before we see that or something, because when is the North stuff going to happen? Unless that's part of episode 1, I guess could be.
Oh, they probably skipped the episode 2 on that one, I would guess. Well, I mean,
you could have it in between go ahead.
The way the old show used to go is they would have segments with each character, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think they could fit that in. I think they could fit it in.
I think you could fit it into one, or you could wait in like after Blood and Cheese, episode 2 opens in the North.
He has to go to the Eyrie first, though.
Yeah, so, that's true.
Yeah, so maybe they do that. Yeah. But, I mean, season 1 ended with, you know, Rhaenyra just looking at the screen, you know, being told mad. Being mad. And that was it. Yeah, I'm going to rewatch it again. Damn it, Ryan. You son of a bitch. I watched Bright after you talked about Bright.
I know, yeah.
I don't have time to watch Stranger Things again.
Yes, you do. Will. You can at least do season 1. Do season 1 and season 4.
Yeah, I can do that.
I rewatched Stranger Things again as well.
Who will be book John team with? Aegon or Dany? I don't think either. At some point, he's got to find out he's a Targaryen. So we'll have 3 Targaryens running around.
Maybe.
Or 2 Targaryens and a Blackfyre. I think Aegon is at least a Blackfyre.
And that's assuming that Jon is not actually a bastard and there was actually a marriage. Because if there wasn't, he's just a fucking bastard.
Yep. And what's the fucking point? You know, like what? Like then just leave him dead, which would suck. I liked his stuff at the end of A Dance with Dragons when he starts politicking and talking to Tormund and stuff. I think it really picks up and he starts learning how to lead. And then he gets Caesared. You know, I think George has already kind of hinted he's coming back. So also Storming the Pit was weird. Peasants killing dragons, Aegon burning shepherd will be great though. I think, that's going to be hard to pull off all the peasants killing dragons. There has to be more to it. I think there'll be more to it. I could be wrong.
Well, they're like trapped and they're like chained up, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not like who gets killed in that? There's 4 dragons that get killed in that, right?
I can't remember.
And one of them fucking escapes, don't they?
Yeah.
I don't fucking remember. Which I'll look it up.
Well, 2 of the biggest dragons take care of themselves later. So.
Yeah, that's true.
And the cannibal just kind of fucks off. Like the cannibal doesn't get involved in any of the fighting. Nobody rides the cannibal. And he just disappears out of the story.
So I'm gone. Yeah.
Yeah. And could still be alive somewhere. far as we know.
Yeah, I guess. Like, how long did Beleriand live?
Nettles and Sheep Stealer fuck off too.
Yeah, like never to be seen. And there's like theories out there that Daemon actually survived and yeah, stuff and like Daemon, that. And he Daemon just went to live with Nettles.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he died.
I think he died too.
But it's nice they never found a body because you never know.
Yep. You never know. Well, he's a popular character too. Blackguard 4 gifted 10 Nerdrotic memberships. Hail, thank you. Trucker Mark for $10. I watched all of season one of House of the Dragon to get ready for season two. Plus, I hope you're not mad. I had to switch off your channel membership to help Shadversity. Go ahead. That's fine. Help Shad.
Send him another sword.
Send him another sword to break.
Yeah.
But thanks, though. It's all good. Dirt King for $10. I think Danny's going to hit the city with dragon fire to smash through the wall and cook off the city with the wildfire that would have been there since Aerys' time, and that will cause it to crack like an egg. Maybe.
I just think that as much as we hate a lot of the ending of Game of Thrones, the reason that some of these things happened was because George told them this was going to happen.
Oh, he did. And, he did at a dinner. Yeah.
100%. And so Bran being king, definitely going to fucking happen.
Yes.
Dany burning the city, intentionally burning the city and going mad queen, that is going to happen, in my opinion. But
I think Cersei using the wildfire is going to happen. I think that's could definitely be a thing. And I didn't hate that. I hate how quickly they got rid of just all the Tyrells, but yeah, like of the later seasons, I definitely like them blowing up the Sept.
It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, that was nuts. I think in order of the Green Hands theory about John being the true son of Ned is correct. Their videos are great. I like Order of the Green Hand. They are good videos.
I think I've seen that one. Yeah.
There's a lot of fun theories out there that if either one was true, I'd be fine. One of them is going to be right. We've had everybody's had enough time to think about it. Like it's going to be right.
We've had too much time to think about it. That's the problem.
Way fucking too much time. Atomic Zam for $5 says, I think Stoneheart brings John back to life. Thematically, that would be cool.
Yeah. That yeah, would be 100%.
Cool. Like Beric did to her, recall her talking about her guilt when John was sick as a baby. Heartless John would be great. Yeah. I think that's a possibility. But I still think it could be Shireen's sacrifice that does it. unless you're saying Stoneheart like just passes her life force like Beric did. But they're definitely setting up Lady Stoneheart for something, and it's not to have long conversations because she can't yeah. talk. Yeah. But her little scenes, like her little chapters, are fucking awesome. Samuel Arryton for $49.99. Thank you. Cersei should have dealt been dealt with first, killed by Jaime. To then have him lead the Lannisters north to assist against the White Walkers. If he did die, they would have revealed pregnant Brain writing his name, showing what?
It's pregnant Brain.
Did I say Brain?
It sounded like you said pregnant Brain. Brain.
Pregnant Brain.
Yeah.
Brain.
That would be cool.
Writing his name, showing his line didn't die off. That would be cool.
I mean, it'd be interesting, I guess. The way she and Jamie go out is so fucking retarded. So, and you never get the what's the prophecy that younger brother will basically strangle Cersei. You know what I mean? The Quarren. I forget what it's fucking called.
I forgot what it's called too. Now it's been so long.
But yeah, because that could be Jaime, right? In theory, it could be Jaime. He is technically her younger brother, even though she probably always fears that it's going to be Tyrion. But we didn't see that happen. Hug.
Yeah, what the fuck was that called again?
I because Maggie the Frog is the one that says it to her, right?
The Valonqar.
Valonqar. There it is.
Thank you. Thank God. I knew it. I was like, what the fuck? Brain farting on that one. I used to like rotate and reread the books just over and over again. And then like 3 years ago, when it was just clear George wasn't going to finish, I just stopped. I'm done. I think that would be very cool. Give Jamie, like, that would be very George too, to give him redemption and death.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Blackguard 4 for $20 as just a show watcher up until season 7. Would Arya's story arc have been better if he, if she had committed to the faceless woman who had to assassinate either Jon Snow or Daenerys by the end instead of the Night King? Well, this is the problem with Arya in the show. She wipes out the Freys. She gets all the good kills. Littlefinger, the Freys, and the Night King. And they try to like, we didn't want to do something that they expected with Jon. It's like, you had this little bitch kill everybody. It's like, spread it out a little bit.
And then the one person that maybe it would make sense for her to kill, and seriously, they didn't.
Yes.
Like, fuck.
That was on her fucking, her prayer. Queen Cersei. It's like, what her the list. Fuck?
Yeah.
So they definitely went modernism at the end. That, like, that choice to do Arya killing the Night King was pure modernism, pure message. That's all it was. It was Dan and Dave phoning it in, thinking they could go make their Star Wars movie. And they were definitely tired of making the show. They kept whining about it. Fucking Miguel Sapochnik fucking whined about directing. It's like, guys, you're directing the biggest show in the world and you sound like it's fucking miserable. It's like, find other people to do it.
Yeah.
Which they should have done. But it won't be like that in the book. She is trying to bullshit the faceless men, and they are going to come after her for it. I think they preface Arya dying alone. Like, she never makes it back. I think in the books, she never makes it back. She will find some justice. She'll probably, you know, kill Cersei, whatever, but she'll never make it back,
to her family.
Yep. Yeah. Never makes it back. And she dies alone. Curled around needle, like John predicted.
Be fitting.
It would be completely unrelated to this, but this is hurting my brain. Is Mahler doing the voiceover for Empires of the Undergrowth video on Steam? Just sounds like him. Maybe he's done some voice work for games. Warwick Robertson for $20. Why don't you? I'll ask him.
Yeah, it sounds like a good thing to ask Mahler, I suppose.
Yeah, he's done some voice work for games in the past. I can't remember the game, to be honest with you. But OMG puppies. For $10, given the strange climate, do you think Game of Thrones takes place on Earth? I wonder if it is Gene Wolfe's situation, where it is far, far in the future, a planetary colony that has lost its technology and history. That's one of the theories, but it's not Earth. No, I don't think it's Earth. I do not think it's Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But we could be wrong. I mean, it's laid out a lot like Earth in some places. You know, all the Asians are in the East.
Yeah, I don't think it's Earth.
No, I don't think it's Earth. Can't spell Targaryen without Gary. That's true. Taker 610 for $2. Don't forget that.
You also can't spell it without Arg.
Thanks for pointing that out. Choose Forever for $2. Bigot Army Raid. What's up? Hypnotic. That's Hypnotic.
Nice. Thank you.
Hail Hypnotic Raid. What's up, Gary? What's up? Cord Pop, 1963 for $2. Hail Hypnotic, by the way. Bigot Army Raid from Hypnotic. Look at that. Panther 111 for $2. Appreciate that. Ryan is a fig. Well, we knew that.
Thank you, Maximus.
Maximus BT. We got Bio. Is it Biot or Bio T Wolf for 19? How would you read that?
Bio T Wolf.
How would Beardo read it? Biot Wolf?
Biot Wolf.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I would read it Biot Wolf. Bigot Army Raid. Read your chat. I'm reading my chat.
We are.
Hi, Bigot Army Raid. What's up? Thanks for the raid, brother. thank you for the raid. We appreciate you. I'll get you back. I'll get you back for that. Speaking Moistly is a new member. Hail. And thank you for the $50 by it. Bio T Wolf.
Like he's got his middle initial. You know what I mean? Bio T Wolf.
Speaking Moistly for 10 Canadian pesos. Nidrotic is so big. He don't care about the biggest rating. No, I'm just dumb.
And we're talking. So we were having like good theory conversations.
I absolutely care though. Thanks for rating, guys. Sumting Wong is a new member. Hail Sumting Wong.
Bing Tang Ao.
Bing Tang Ao. Holy fuck. We too low. BK Outpost. Can we get a Griff Theory again? Aren't you guys doing one soon?
Yeah, we're supposed to do like a reunion Star Grift after Acolyte's over. So we got, you know, a couple months. But yeah.
Subscribe to Hypnotic if you haven't already, please. Good channel. Good dude. John is Ned and Ashara's son, not a Targ. Okay. The theory doesn't make sense if the story plays out. Then this whole prophecy of John thing is a big fucking red herring, shaggy dog, go nowhere thing. What the fuck's the point of that?
Yeah, I think like one thing that really makes people think that there's a timeline that doesn't quite line up. It's like only 8 months instead of like the 9 months it would like be or some shit that's really convinced people lately that it's not the case, but.
Go back. George has retconned timelines already in the book. Yeah. And I also want to point out that one of the reasons Dan and Dave got the fucking job was they guessed that John was a Targaryen.
Yes.
That's it.
Like
that's it. Yeah.
That's something like that in the show is in there because George told them that was it.
Yep.
Now, is his name going to be Aegon? I don't know. Like don't things so. Like that. There could be ways that you could justify. Maybe, maybe not. His name should be Jaehaerys.
But I think Ashara Dane is possibly still around. I think that's a possibility.
Whenever they go out of their way to say they never found the body, it's always like maybe, maybe, or maybe they just want to keep it a mystery to make you can, you know, keep thinking about it. But
what if Jon and Aegon ride an old living cannibal? Why not? He still could be out there. Dragons, we don't know what their lifespans are. Totally.
Somewhat. Valyrian died of old age, right?
Yeah. Kind. He was fucking old. Yeah. Night King. Oh, wait. And this is Apex Calibre again for $1.99. Night King should have made it to King's Landing. Yes. Not off like his front porch. He didn't make it off his fucking front porch. Now it would have been so much cooler if they had made it all the way to King's Landing and just fucking, and it wouldn't even
wrecking people.
It wouldn't have cost much. You could have made episodes like a horror movie where like the small folk are just running from fucking whites and being trapped in like one hut or something. It would have been fucking great.
And you've got them having to like work together to make decisions of how many resources do we use to try to save these people versus do we just say fuck off and like, let's get to King's Landing as fast as possible and make our last stand there type of shit. Like, yeah, you could have done stuff like that.
How cool was it when Sam killed that white? That was fucking cool. With that whole scene where the white comes up. Now it's better in the book, of course, but when the white comes up and you know, the birds or all the crows are just starting to go fucking nuts. And they didn't have them talking as much. I love that every time you hear one of the ravens fucking talk, you know, it's Bran or it's the three-eyed raven, right?
Yeah, it means something. Yeah.
It definitely means something.
That's how John gets fucking elected, that damn crow in the fucking pot or whatever.
Yep.
Which, why is he in a pot? I don't know why he's in a pot.
Don't know.
I don't know why somebody shoved the Lord Commander's raven into a pot, but he was there. Maybe he's about to get cooked up.
Dude, in the Theon chapter from Winds of Winter, where he's talking, which is a great chapter, I've listened to that like 1,000 times too, where he's trapped with Stannis, and at the end when he's all tree, take him to the tree, you know, like sacrifice him at the tree at the end, it's like, ah, it's fucking great. Lost opportunity. Oh well, maybe they'll do it more in this show. Jeremy's Pride bike seat says hi, says the penetrator for $2. And that's where we're going to end it. Yeah. That's what we were telling everybody at the meetup is Jeremy and you and Jeremy were marching at Pride.
That's bullshit. That was my joke that I said to say why we hit. He wasn't there.
I can steal it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, we mostly said Jeremy was riding around his unicycle without a seat. So.
Without a seat. That's without the most important part.
Well, thanks, everybody. This was a fun show. It will be re-uploaded on Nerderotic Live. We will be live right after the show next Sunday with Mahler to discuss the first episode, which we just spoiled the living shit out of. So we got it out of our system.
It was good to hear. Was that Jeremy Eisenfire in the chat who said that he saw it and it's dark as fuck?
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Well, we know a couple people who have episodes already.
That's true.
So look forward to hearing from them.
I don't want to see it early. Appointment viewing television. I want to experience it right along with every other single person in the world who's going to watch it open.
Same here, except when I was on Free Folk back in the day, Ryan, and those episodes leaked from Spain all the time, I fucking watched them all. I watched them all, dude. Lady Grandmaster, I have a legit question. Is one of the characters actually named Bran like the cereal? Is that supposed to be funny? You know, Lady Grandmaster.
A joke.
Is that a joke? Yes, Bran. Yes, one of the characters is named Elmo Tully, and his grandfather is Grover Tully. Okay.
Have you heard the theory that all Brandon Starks are the same Brandon Stark?
Yeah.
Who's just like time traveled.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I watched Hard Home again recently. I told you it's fucking awesome. Great banger episode, dude. So fucking good.
On House of the Dragon, it says you might also like, and it was like Game of Thrones. And I clicked on it. It was like season six, episode one. Like that was my left off spot. I stopped after season five. That to me was like where it started to feel off. I didn't start watching Game of Thrones until season three. The first two seasons I didn't watch, and then I randomly binge watched them because somebody had a hard drive full of a bunch of movies and TV shows and shit at work that I was on overnight, and I fucking binged them. I'm like, this is awesome. So I started watching the season three, and season six, I just started like complaining a lot to my friend. And he was like, you just don't like anything. I'm like, no, I fucking really liked it. But there's just like season six is super hit or miss. It's like you have episodes or moments that are awesome. And then there's also shit you really just like tilt your head at. And then season seven, I had big problems with.
Big problems with. That's when the Westeros Express kicked in. It sucks. Because, Hard Home and then Danny getting on the dragon for the first time. It's pretty cool. All that shit's pretty cool. Such promise.
Yeah, I saw somebody post the other day, this is when Game of Thrones ended for me, and it's as they're sailing across the sea, with the fucking dragons flying and the massive fleet and everything. Might as well have ended it there. Would have been better.
Oh, God. Don't get me started on Dorne. Fuck, did they fuck? I mean, Dorne wasn't great to begin with in the books, and they fucked Dorne up, man.
I'm not a big fan of the Dorne shit in the books.
I'm not either.
Although I do like Darkstar.
Darkstar's awesome. He's a fucking dick. But I think there's something to him, so.
Well, there's something to it. But the thing is, he's only awesome because of things he's told us, not because of anything anyone else has told us about him.
Yeah.
Which he's like the only fucking character in the book that's like that. All the other characters like that are fucking about like Euron or whatever. You get perspective from everybody else, like why they're so scared and intimidated of Euron and shit like that. Whereas Darkstar, the things we know about him that we think are fucking so cool, it's things that he tells everyone else.
But well, so he looks the part.
It's tough to get a feel for him. Yeah,
he's a Dane. He wields Dawn. He looks
like a fucking Valyrian because he's a Dane.
Looks like a Valyrian. Yep, has a meteor sword, like a magic meteor sword. Yeah,
wants to steal the magic meteor sword.
Euron was such a cool, like, because you had Ramsay Bolton, you're like, this is the baddest of the bad. Then Euron comes along, and they just fucking Ramsey would be fucking Euron's fucking boyfriend. He is. They're like, hey, let's have a pirate who might be mystical, who might be a green seer and a child molester. Fucking just let's make him as evil as we possibly can. No question at all. There's no gray with Euron Greyjoy. He's bad.
And then make him die in the show by happening to swim up at the right moment while Jaime Lannister is there and have a fight.
That is so fucking retarded. So retarded. Yeah.
Somebody says Darkstar is great. He told me so.
Yeah. He is pretty. It'd be funny if they're going to raid, because like they're on their way to go raid his castle, by the way. And he's like, I was just fucking bullshitting. Okay, guys.
Yeah.
Danny could have burned King's Landing to save it from the Night King. Yeah, but I think she's going to burn it for her.
She's going to burn it because she's mad.
Yep. Is Bran's first name Raisin?
Probably not.
Probably not, Eric. Probably not. And the show could have been turned around if Jaime actually killed the dragon when he charged in season 6.
Or if he'd been killed.
Or if he had been killed, which he should have been, because he was in full armor and sinking to the bottom.
He sank like fucking 100 feet.
Yep.
And then they just pop up out of the water like 3 miles away.
And Bronn is awesome, but like totally overused like towards the end. So
he became a fan favorite. So he's just involved in everything.
Yep.
He fucking got married and fucked off.
He did. He caused a bunch of problems and Cersei was trying to get him killed and he wouldn't die because he's fucking Bronn. Yeah. But yeah, he was happy as like he was fine. He has no loyalty to anybody. He just wanted to get a castle. He just wanted some security, man. That's all he wanted.
He just wanted a castle and a lady to fuck.
He was a hedge knight. Come on. All right. Thanks everyone. Appreciate you. Thanks to the Modrotics. Thanks to everyone who left super chat and donation. Appreciate you guys. And we'll see you Sunday. Take care.
See you Sunday. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Nerderotic.com.